The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, February 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, finally, Andy Reid gets to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs erased a 10-point deficit and went on to beat the San Francisco 49ers 31-20 in Super Bowl 54.
Yay!
It's the first Super
Quite a celebration.
It's the first Super Bowl crown for the Chiefs coach, who will no longer wear the distinction of being the winningest coach in NFL history without a championship. Reid, who was with the Philadelphia Eagles for 14 years, never won a title with the Birds, but he laid the foundation for Philadelphia to become a contender. He went 130-93-1 as Eagles coach and reached four consecutive conference title games and a Super Bowl, but fell short of delivering a title in Philadelphia. Reid's win was celebrated Sunday night on Twitter, receiving congratulations from Donovan McNabb, Brian Dawkins, LeBron James, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the NFL. Hundreds of people renewed the search for 5-year-old Dulce Maria Alves in South Jersey Sunday. Volunteers combed the area around the school where Dulce attended in Bridgeton. 6ABC reported that the search took place at that location because a psychic made a claim to the family that the little girl was dead and buried behind her school. There was a little girl's shoe that was found at one point while members were searching, but it wasn't Dulce's. The mayor of the city of Bridgeton said the community isn't giving up hope. Dulce was visiting Bridgeton City Park on a family outing September 16th when she disappeared. The FBI, along with Bridgeton Police and the Cumberland County Prosecutor's Office, has been working to locate the girl. A reward currently stands at $75,000. If Sunday's efforts does not produce any results, the group plans to pick up the search again next Sunday.
They shouldn't give up hope, because I saw a documentary over the weekend about children that go missing, and sometimes, and I mean, we know, like Elizabeth Smart, a long time can pass. And they find these kids, and so, you know, but God.
It's this just so bizarre.
I mean,
and for some reason, I'm, like, watching this case. Yeah. I check, you know, I'll Google her name every once in a while, because you won't hear about it for a little while. Obviously, right. The search has been going on since September, but this little girl just vanished, disappeared from
within,
a park.
Within, it seemed like seconds, and that's what makes it so frustrating.
And there's no, nothing. They didn't find anything of hers. There was no shoe, there was no clothing, there was no body, nothing.
But the sad part of it is that can happen.
Yes.
Someone can come and just be in the right place in time, and boom, gone scot-free. Nobody sees anything.
And even
it's
like
happened.
they had a vehicle, a description of a vehicle. I think they were able to speak to, you know, some of the people that were at the park. They looked at if anybody were taking pictures of their kids at the park. They wanted to see them so they could see what was in the background, and nothing. They've got nothing at this point. But so very sad. But apparently somebody went and saw a psychic. It was a family spokesperson that came out and said that that's why they went back to search, and that they're going to go back out again next Sunday. Mm-hmm. Officials say the patient being tested for coronavirus in New York City did everything right, and if that patient tests positive, the health department is ready to react. A person under 40 years old who had spent time in mainland China arrived in the city on Thursday and called 911 on Friday after feeling symptoms, which included a fever, cough, and runny nose. Early Saturday morning, an ambulance brought the patient to Bellevue Hospital. Mayor Bill de Blasio said the patient did exactly as they should have by following the guidelines that New York City put out.
The patient said he had been in China, and he'd asked the waiter what the bat was doing in his soup. And the waiter said the bat
Backstroke.
Officials report testing will take 36 to 48 hours and depends on the CDC testing capacity. The patient is currently stable. So the virus that started in Wuhan meat market has now infected more than 14,000 people globally, killing nearly 300 people. I mean, that's pretty significant.
Has it killed anybody outside of China? Not that that's,
you know what, so there's 11
any less tragic, but
right, there's 11 confirmed cases in 5 states in the United States, the latest a husband and wife in California. But Nick, I don't know if any of those deaths
I haven't heard any fatalities domestically.
But New York now becomes the 37th state looking into possible cases. Officials declared a public health emergency. That means turning away foreign nationals who have been to China in the past 14 days. For American citizens, there are potential quarantine sites at 4 military locations in the West. Starting Sunday, all Americans returning to the United States from China will be tested at 7 ports of entry, including JFK Airport.
And they're just going to straight up ban flights, right?
Yes. From?
Yeah. You can't even get there anymore.
Because, you know, it's one of those cases where once the cat's out of the bag, it's hard to control it then. So I can see this.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ohio!
Socks are yummy.
Here. God. That's one way to start a Monday.
Yeah. What the is this?
Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs. Pat Mahomes led the Chiefs to 21 straight points in the final 6 minutes, 13 seconds for a 31-20 win over the San Francisco 49ers. The Chiefs trailed 24-0 and 17-7 in previous playoff games and fell 20-10 in the third quarter. But Mahomes completed passes of 44 yards to Tyreek Hill and 38 to Sammy Watkins and threw touchdowns to Travis Kelce and Damian Williams for the lead. This was the first NFL title in Coach Reed's two-decade career, and he's been seeking one as a head coach since being hired by the Eagles in 1999. As confetti fell and the Chiefs celebrated the end of the NFL's 100th season, Reed said, "This is what it's all about. What a great team, great coaches. Appreciate every bit of it." The Sixers continue to struggle on the road and have lost two in a row away from South Philly, including a game in Boston on Saturday night against the Celtics. They're in Miami tonight for a game against the Heat, and tip-off is scheduled for 7:30. And the Flyers beat the Colorado Avalanche at home on Saturday night to improve their playoff position in the Eastern Conference. The Flyers are 6-2-2 over their last 10 games and have 28 wins and 63 points on the season. They're in Detroit to play the Red Wings. The puck drops at 7:30, and the game will be broadcast here on WMMR. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome to a Monday morning indeed. Let's see what we got for you. New Word of the Week prize. Oh, my God, Casey.
I know.
Oh, wow.
What is it?
We have a pair of three-day tickets to see Fish.
Oh!
Yes! Yes! Not only that!
Oh, my God.
Not only that! Preston, it gets better. What else?
All right, this is on the beach in Atlantic City, plus a hotel stay for 3 nights at the Borgata Hotel and Casino and Spa.
Well, they just opened up one in the Pine Barrens.
That's the location. I mean, perfect for Fish fans.
This is unprecedented. Our Word of the Week prize is a fish-related prize. Did you ask for this?
No.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, but tickets go on sale for the entire tour on Friday, so this is big news,
but
guys.
3 nights at the Borgata? That's pretty badass.
Yeah, three nights
awesome.
At Borgata.
Borgata.
You know, they're so particular and picky about that. It's not Borgata.
It's not?
No, it's Borgata.
I think I heard Fish going into a commercial break on the Super Bowl. Last
twice. It's not Fish. It's the Fish.
Sorry.
Twice.
Yeah.
So there is a music director who works for Fox NFL, plays Fish at every single one of his broadcasts. So they played a song called Character Zero in the first half. They played a song called Free in the second half.
Yeah.
Bertha from the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, Bertha.
Believe me, there's a whole text chain of all of my Fish hippie friends. They're like, did you hear that? Did you see that? Yeah.
It sounded good,
so
though.
I did my investigative work, and this guy's name is Jake, and he's a huge Fish fan.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, so we're going to get you started. We're going to get you started with the letter of the day for the Word of the Week this week, and we will give that away on Friday. As far as more winning is concerned, today is the last day that we are doing for Easy Money. So you got 5 chances. That's still a good amount right there for you to win $1,000, maybe even 10 grand for the grand prize. So that is coming up around 8 o'clock. We will get that. And then we have a concert announcement this morning, a big concert announcement this morning. So we're going to get to that around 9 o'clock. And if
8 o'clock.
Okay, 8 o'clock.
Sorry.
And if you're good, we'll do our best to maybe get you some tickets.
So yes.
We'll work on that, too. We are also going to have on the program today Aidan Gillen. The second season of Project Blue Book is on. You can find that on the History Channel.
I'm very familiar with this because my wife is into all the Ancient Alien shows.
Okay.
And this is a show that they promote. We've watched it a number of times.
So Aidan will be joining us a little later today. And this returns to the Watch and Win, Watch, Listen and Win, I should say, with our friend Dr. Oz. We got another $500 prize to give away. We're going to do it for a couple of weeks, so you need to watch Dr. Oz on Fox 29 weekdays at 2 p.m. Answer a question the next day about the show, and you could win $500. So today we'll just probably do a generic question and make it easy on you, but we'll remind you to watch it. But $500 every day, too, and we'll do that around 9:30-ish, as close to that as we can get it. With all of that going on, it's also a new month since we last.
Oh, my God.
So we got to change our calendar. We said goodbye. We are saying goodbye to the month of January. Gina, what a way to kick off the calendar. She's stunning. But next, we have rolling into the month of January from Bear, Delaware. We have Bronte,
Yay!
Who is our calendar girl for all of February, and an extra
long February this month.
That's right.
29 days. Did we get that right in our calendar? Yes, we did. I want to make sure we actually had a 29th in there. So Bronte is there, and you can check her Instagram account at Bronte_Brown. From Bear, Delaware. That's right, Bear Watch.
That's right.
Bear Watch. So thank you, Bronte, for being in our the pages of our Totally Office calendar. So make sure you check that out today. All right, that and obviously we got to, you know, hit the Super Bowl and talk a little bit about that stuff.
Yeah, big day yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll take a break, come back, and before we get to all of that, we will do the stupid question, and I have a stack of entertainment stories to run by you. So that stuff is coming up. Make sure you hang with us on this Monday morning. Weather's going to be great, too, so we'll be in there with you. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so for a stupid question, going to give away a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show, February 14th through the 16th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. So we're in February, Black History Month, and I pepper some Black History questions throughout the month, courtesy of our buddy Craig Ligons. He always sends me some really good ones. And he asks only that I mention his show, My Life in 19 Inches,
there you go.
Friday, February 14th, 8 p.m. at the Rotunda, 4014 Walnut Street, $15 at the door, $10 online at therotunda.org. That's the official big plug I'm going to give.
Yes, and it's a Valentine's Day show, clearly.
Here's the question for you. Everybody knows Jackie Robinson was the first Black baseball player in the Major League history. Who was the second?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's always the second dude that just kind of gets lost in the history books. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. So Jackie Robinson, the first Black baseball player in Major League history. Who was the second? Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays while we're waiting for that answer. Monday, February 3rd. And we'll start with, Nick, you pulled a couple here on IMDb. Warwick Davis, the actor. He is 50 years old. Willow.
I just saw him in something.
The
Star Wars? He's in Rise of Skywalker or whatever it's called.
Huh, is he?
No. Yeah.
He's been in loads of stuff throughout the years. But Willow, I remember loving that movie. It's been a long, long time since I've seen that. He's also in the Harry Potter
series. Great. He's great. And Leprechaun?
He Leprechaun?
He's Leprechaun. Warwick Davis.
How about Maleficent, Steve? Did you see the second one of those?
Nick, it was just weird that I saw him in it, and I forget what it was about. Oh! Was it Solo?
He's in Solo.
Yes. Yeah. Solo.
Okay.
He celebrates his, how old was he, Nick?
50, I believe.
50th birthday today.
Leprechaun.
Let's see.
Hey, you're Leprechaun.
Let me go next to Blythe Danner.
Love her.
Gwyneth Paltrow's mummy.
I've always thought she was a sexy woman.
Yeah.
Regal sexy woman. And she is also a great actress. And she's in a movie, Preston, that I don't know if you know, but The Great Santini with Robert Duvall?
Yeah.
She's his wife.
I didn't see it, but I'm familiar. I know you always talk about what a great film that is. She's 77 years old today. Morgan Fairchild is 70 today.
Oh, from Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yes, you know her from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Beijing.
She played Dottie at the end in the movie they made about his life.
Beijing, Mr. Herman.
Mr. Herman.
She was on a show called Flamingo Road.
Right, which is all that time that they had. Was it Falcon Crest and Flamingo Road and Dynasty and everything? Yeah.
She was definitely a very, very sexy woman at the time.
And was she on Friends as well?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she played
Chandler's mom.
Chandler's mom, yeah.
Chandler's dad, of course, was Kathleen
that's
Turner.
Right.
Kathleen
that's
Turner, right. Yeah.
She's a big animal rights person. We're looking at a picture of her now that looks like she's wearing a Morgan Fairchild helmet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, she has big hair. She's 70 today. Nathan Lane, the great actor, the producers, the Birdcage, and many, many things over the years.
Did he play the original Meerkat in Lion King? Was that his voice?
That's him?
Yeah.
You're right.
He also plays a character on Modern Family called Pepper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he is hilarious.
64 today. Isla Fisher, stunning.
Oh, oh yeah.
Beautiful redhead. Married to Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yes.
Which is weird.
You find that strange?
Oh, yeah, that coupling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, women are attracted to humor. It's clear.
Look she's so great in Wedding Crashers as well. She's 44 today.
What's the Gal Gadot movie that she was in?
Keeping
Up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses,
is that it?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, there's a wonderful scene with Gal in a changing room. Isla is 44 today. The great Fran Tarkenton,
Hall
of Fame quarterback.
Did your dad play football with him or against him?
Against him, okay. Yeah, back in the day. Fran is 80 years old today. Maura Tierney from ER and The Affair, 55 years old
she
today.
She was the, she presided over my friend Rick's wedding.
What?
Yeah. What?
What?
Yeah, so my friend Rick from high school, and I call him my
did
friend.
Did she play against Fran Tarkenton?
She did not. No. So my friend Rick was a hairstylist on Broadway for the longest time. Now he's out in L.A. doing hair out there and has, like, struck up friendships with Glenn Close and him and her. And
get him to betray all of his confidential client lists and have these people call us. Wasn't she in Liar Liar as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, do you want, like, 7 degrees...
Yeah,
Maura Tierney.
From the Preston and Steve show. So Maura Tierney, it was either a boyfriend or ex-husband, is now dating Belaris's ex-girlfriend.
What?
Wow.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Double back again.
Follow with me. Along with me.
Right.
Okay. So she is either the ex-wife or ex-girlfriend of Belaris's ex-girlfriend.
Preston.
I can't follow.
No, the husband. So Maura Tierney's ex-husband.
Oh, okay.
Is dating
somebody that Belaris used to date.
The blonde?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Really?
And she told me that she couldn't watch The Affair. She goes, I can't watch it. I'm like, it's just a show. And she's like, I know, but it's like, you know, because there was, at least in the first season, there was a lot of sex in that movie. And she's like, I don't know that I want to watch her do that.
Okay. See, we're basically famous, just no one knows it.
Right.
You're going to have to draw a diagram for me so I can understand this. By the way, Belaris, he was in Miami. He got down to Miami in a private airplane. Do you guys see this on, like, social media?
It's probably the clients of his, like, $9 million houses that he's selling.
No, I don't keep tabs on John. Why?
Me neither. Okay. I don't either. Normally I don't, but there he was outside of a private aircraft, and I was like, wow.
Was there any proof he'd flown to that aircraft? Yeah. Did he just jump the fence in a private airport?
Maybe more likely.
Hey, Uber, can you drive me over to that plane over there?
Maura Tierney is 55 today. Dave Davies, guitarist of the Kinks, brother to Ray Davies, is 73 years old.
That was a big battle. Does that still continue?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't, I don't think they speak with one another. When I worked for Pierre for 3 years, he holds the Kinks in really high regard.
Oh, as do I.
And so he ranks, like, the British bands as the most influential, and the Kinks are right up there for him with the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and Zeppelin.
Yeah, so he's 73 years old today. And then the last birthday, Steve, I brought this up for us. The singer Melanie! Who had the song Brand New Key.
Yes.
I've got a brand new pair of roller skates.
I've got a brand new roller skates. You got a brand new key.
I think that we should get together and try them out to see.
Yep, she's 73 years old today. Was that about sex?
I think so.
It has to be,
I think,
right?
So. Yeah. Every guy
you have a penis, I have a vagina.
Yeah. Let's
only roller skates.
Put it in that, and let's see what happens.
Stick it in there. And,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, I can turn around.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was just guessing. It was, you know,
it seemed to be
a metaphor for sex. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's 73 today. All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Everybody knows Jackie Robinson, the first black baseball player in Major League history, who was the second, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Ken for the answer. Yo, Ken, how you doing, man? Ken.
I'm doing great, Preston. How you doing? I'm here.
All right, all good. Do me a favor and tell me who was the second black baseball player in Major League history.
That would be Mr. Larry Doby.
Larry Doby. Yeah.
Oh!
You got it, bud. Hang on. We are going to take care of you. By the way, he played for the Cleveland Indians, and he was the first black player in the American League.
I did not know that.
Jackie Robinson was a National League player. So, since you got it right, we are going to set you up with a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show, which is February 14th through the 16th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. For more information and discount tickets, go to Philly homeandgardenshow.com.
My grandfather served up a home run to Larry Doby one time.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so he pitched in this professional league in Portland, Oregon, and it was a semi-pro league back in the day. And so Larry Doby, before he broke into the bigs, played in a whole bunch of leagues, including the Negro Leagues. My grandfather was not in the Negro Leagues, but he was in the semi-pro league.
I don't think that guy's black.
No, he was Italian.
The guy over there, the Scottish guy with the red hair.
My mom's side. He was the Italian side. But yeah, he served up a home run to Larry Doby.
Wow. That's
pretty cool. Isn't that pretty neat? Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
My name's McTavish McElwain. Really?
Yep.
All right, so at the box office this weekend, Bad Boys for Life was number one, followed by 1917, won some awards this weekend. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Dr. Doolittle, Gretel and Hansel was fourth, followed by The Gentlemen, Jumanji, The Next Level, Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker. Number eight was The Turning, followed by Little Women and Rhythm Section to round out the top ten. We're going to go to the Weinstein stuff here. I've decided to save you some of the nitty-gritty of the details of the witness, testimonies, because some of them are very graphic. And listen, they're claiming they were raped. And
yeah.
I think we know what entails what that means, yeah. However, there are some details I am going to bring up that are kind of interesting from this particular actress, Jessica Mann. She had met Harvey when she initially said that she thought it was a sign from God. On Friday, the 34-year-old who was raised as an evangelical on a dairy farm in Washington State describes to jurors just how wrong her first impression had been. She said, "With my religious background and everything, I thought God was blessing me by having met him. I thought it was a blessing." She said that she and a friend met with Harvey at the Montage Hotel in Beverly Hills in 2013, nominally about an upcoming project. But the 67-year-old invited them up to his room to look at the script. Once there, he invited Mann into the suite's bedroom, and then he...
Did his deal.
He did his deal. She refused him. He became enraged. She said, "His anger scared me. I'm not letting you leave until you let me do something for you." Then he told me to sit on the bed, and then he raped her. She faked that she enjoyed it at the last second. She faked an orgasm. And she told him it was the best. Weinstein, just to get it over with, to get it done with, to get him off of her. Weinstein assaulted her on multiple occasions, she testifies, all while promising her top-notch roles in films. Despite all this, she admits that she made the decision to, quote, be in a relationship with him. She said, "I entered into what I thought was a real relationship with him. And it was extremely degrading from that point on. He would talk very dirty to me about fantasies and things and compare me to other actresses." He said, "We're doing kinky, dirty stuff." He always wanted to film me. Now, she goes on giving graphic testimony about Weinstein's anatomy.
So goddamn depressing.
Listen to this. Did you hear about this? She says, "The first time I saw him fully naked, I thought he was deformed and intersex. He has extreme scarring that I didn't know if he was a burn victim, but it didn't make sense. He does not have testicles and appears that he has a vagina."
Oh, my God.
What? Is what she has to say about this. What? Yes.
What the? I don't understand.
It looks like he has an innie.
Yeah, that's what she's kind of.
But, I thought, judging by how hot he is physically, that would have to be an extraordinarily beautiful penis on that man.
So that's kind of interesting. And he apparently, hung his head low when she started talking about this in the courtroom. So
I know.
Yeah, wow.
I have a vaginus.
So it's a vaginus. That I've never heard before. So the testimony continues.
Oh, it's a laugh a minute, this thing.
We'll see where this goes. Moving on to one of the other high-profile cases. Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannulli are accusing federal prosecutors of withholding evidence from them.
And it appears that there might be something to this.
According to new legal documents obtained by the publication TMZ, they say the evidence proves they didn't bribe anyone in a bid to get their daughters Olivia and Bella into the University of Southern California. In the legal filing, the pair claimed they believed that the $500,000 they gave Rick Singer was a payment going to USC itself, not a bribe that was directly bribing anyone. TMZ writes that the documents state Rick Singer has advised the government in sum and substance that the families that do the side door.
The thing with the dad.
What, that doesn't make any sense.
I know.
They continue saying the government clearly acknowledges that Gianulli and Laughlin's alleged bribe payments did not go to any USC official personally, but rather went to USC itself.
Maybe that's the way they presented it in court, Preston, to throw off everyone. And the side door of the thing of the guy who did it.
Right. So you never know. These guys might have they might have a case.
And they better hope something comes together.
Yeah. By the way, they listed, we mentioned this last week, their Bel Air home for $28 million. It's currently not on the MLS. I'm not sure what that is.
Major League Soccer.
Yeah, okay. It's not on the Major League Soccer and will only be shown to qualified buyers.
Okay.
It's the listing.
Yeah, so it's not just a standard. You could, you need
it's
to
not
call,
on Zillow.
You need to call Belaris to
yeah,
set
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They are willing to,
I am John Belaris, and I can sell your home.
They are willing to take a lower price than what they asked a few years ago because they
perhaps
are,
your memory is the weather Ayatollah.
They are serious about
something. Oh, yeah. The weather savior.
The weather savior.
That's what he called himself. The insider continues saying that they moved to the home when their daughters were in high school, and it was very convenient. That's why they got their $28 million home, because it was near the
school.
It was
convenient. Yeah, right.
So,
well, it's close to a school, and it's $28 million. Perfect.
It's time to move on from this chapter and to find their next project.
Leave all the bad memories behind.
So there you go. Sir Sam Mendes's 1917 won big at the BAFTA Film Awards last night. In all, the World War One film nabbed 7 awards, including Best Film, Best British Film, Best Director, and Best Cinematography. Mendes is the first British winner of Best Director since Danny Boyle won for Slumdog Millionaire in 2009.
This is very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie, but yeah. I want to see it in a theater.
Joker won 3, including Best Actor for Joaquin Phoenix, while Renee Zellweger won Best Actress for her role Judy. That's another big one.
She might get the Oscar. I mean, I saw the movie. I thought she was excellent in it. But that sort of came out of left field because there was, you know, other money on other actresses. But
yeah, Parasite picked up 2 biggies, Best Original Screenplay and Best Film Not in the English Language. Other winners included Brad Pitt for Best Supporting Actor for Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Laura Dern as Best Supporting Actress in Marriage Story. I don't think our buddy Michael Giacchino won. The Best Original Score was won by Joker.
Yeah.
But he posted a picture of him holding a BAFTA award.
Yeah, I think Jojo Rabbit won. I know Jojo Rabbit won for adapted screenplay, so I think Taika Waititi won for that, and so he was there with him.
Okay.
So they were there together. So I think Taika Waititi won one, and but Giacchino did not.
Okay.
You know what I forgot? Taika Waititi. You remember in the original Green Lantern, his buddy?
Yeah.
Who's in the room? That's him.
That's him?
That's him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But
I love that guy.
His hair's all grown out. The funny guy who's like... Whoa!
Yeah, I don't remember.
That's
it. He was a good comic relief in that in the film.
He was great.
The BAFTAs were the last major award show pre Oscars, which is this Sunday.
So excited,
aren't you? Though
it's so excited.
I've finally seen a couple of the movies,
right.
So I will actually have a mild bit of interest in it.
This is your formal invitation to your party.
Yeah, come on over.
Did you watch Joker?
Did I watch what?
Joker.
Joker? No, I did not.
Okay.
You got me the download, but I couldn't watch it on the plane because it wasn't an actual download. It was more of a stream thing.
Oh,
so you
it was a flip book.
But actually, I started watching. I've watched like the first 20 minutes of it, so clearly I got a long way to go. But I liked what I saw so far. But anyhow, moving on. Looks like Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake are doing just fine.
Yeah.
You know, so after that, and the reason being is because she wished him happy birthday on social media.
Okay.
So that immediately indicates that everything is hunky-dory.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. That if you want a sign that a marriage is rock solid, see if they're wishing each other happy birthday.
On Instagram, she wrote, "Happy birthday to the most timeless man I know. You somehow grow up without growing old. We love you so much."
You'll know she didn't say, "I love you so much." It's,
"We
love
right,
you."
So right, 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 right. All right, speaking of love.
Love!
This is hilarious.
Oh, yeah? All right.
I'm sure you guys saw this. Pamela Anderson and her new husband, movie mogul John Peters, have split less than 2 weeks their secret wedding.
12 days.
Yeah, that's it.
12 days. And she's always been so committed in her relationships.
She wrote, or she said in a statement to the Hollywood Reporter, I have been moved by the warm reception to John and my union. We would be very grateful for your support as we take some time apart to reevaluate what we want from life and from one another. Life is a journey, and love is a process. With that universal truth in mind, we have mutually decided to put off the formalization of our marriage certificate and put our faith in the process.
The better speech is right from Animal House. You effed up. You trusted us.
Yeah, thank you for respecting our privacy. A source said that the couple had not yet filed for legal paperwork for a marriage certificate for their January 20th wedding.
So technically, no, not legally married?
No.
Yeah.
News of the split comes just 8 days after Anderson posted her first photo of she and Peters, who's 74, by the way, as a married couple to Instagram stories. In the photos, Anderson was beaming in the black and white shot, smiling next to Peters, who wore shades. On January
20th. This isn't going to last.
On January 21st, he's smiling.
This isn't going to last. There's no way. This is a huge mistake.
On January 21st, Anderson's publicist had told people of the couple they are very much in love.
They're very much in love.
And were married yesterday.
They were married yesterday.
Peters and Anderson first met at the Playboy Mansion in the mid-80s and began dating after their encounter.
Maybe he thinks it's the mid-80s.
He had said about her, Pamela has never seen her full potential as an artist. She has yet to shine in a real way. There is so much more to her than meets the eye, or I wouldn't love her so much. He said, there are beautiful girls everywhere. I could have my pick.
He could have his pick.
But for 35 years, I've only wanted Pamela. She makes me wild in a good way. She inspires me. I protect her and treat her the way she deserves to be treated.
Oh, that's awesome. I think what he's saying is that she's like that chocolate chip cookie you see in the diner bakery case that really is kind of old and stale.
Yeah.
And you thought you wanted it, but you didn't.
Peters, by the way, who produced both Barbara Streisand's A Star is Born in 1976 and the remake in 2018 with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. He was previously married to actress Leslie Ann Warren and producer Christine Forsyth Peters. Also had a 12-year romance with Barbara Streisand when he met her as a hairdresser before A Star is Born.
He is basically, from what I understand, the model for Warren Beatty's character in the movie Shampoo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're done, I guess, or for now they're gonna see, they're gonna work it
well,
out.
Well, work. I assume marriage counseling, intense sessions, things of that nature.
Lisa Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter's daughter.
Yes,
Alyssa. Thank you. Was arrested after she got into a fight with her girlfriend, according to TMZ. Yeah. Chapman was reportedly arrested for harassment, and police tell the pub that she was not cooperative.
She did apologize, though, Preston.
I'm very sorry, and I apologize with all my heart.
She sounds like her dad.
She told the outlet that an officer grabbed her by the arm, and she plans to file a report against the office for misconduct. She is out on bail as of now.
She's a hellcat, that one.
Yeah. Little Women star Florence Hughes is shutting down criticism over the age gap between her and her boyfriend, Zach Braff. She's 24, he's 44.
Oh, that's 20 years.
And here's how it went down. She posted a shot of herself and he commented with a princess emoji and a follower remarked, "You're 44 years old." And she responded, "And yet he got it." There you go.
That's awesome stuff. Yeah, wow. I love that kind of byplay on social media. And yet he got it.
And yet he got it. Wow.
Little Women, I'm so little.
Zach Braff.
Let's see. Little Women, I already did that one.
Little Women, you came back. You made a mistake.
I did.
It's okay. Little Women make mistakes, too.
Let's go over Vanessa Hudgens. She gave recent ex Austin Butler a taste of what he's missing on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so help me out with this.
Okay. Right, so. Anything on Instagram just is awesome.
She posted a series of shots of herself in a suit.
In like a three-piece men's suit?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Writing Thirsty Thursday. Y'all, LOL, I don't really have many picks that qualify, so not sure how long this will last, but for now, we wet.
We wet?
Damn. We wet.
We wet. Sopping wet. Thirsty. Yo.
Thirsty.
Did she hashtag it Thirsty Thursday?
Yeah.
We wet, man.
We wet.
Buckets of girly juice.
It's just, you know, she's just saying, you know, that she's thirsty.
Yo.
To all the boys out there.
Does that mean thirsty as in I need something to drink?
No.
Thirsty for sex.
I need something in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's not food.
That's not food.
You didn't have to go to oral.
But well, I mean, listen, I just assume that that's how you get things started.
Yeah. That's how you get the thirsty train rolling.
It's very generous of you.
Yeah.
Did anyone find this picture of her?
She must have posted it on her stories because it's not on her.
All right. Feed. Well, she wasn't that thirsty then. She didn't want.
She was only temporarily. She was thirsty for 24 hours.
Let's just say she was peckish.
But let me run that quote by you again. Okay. Y'all, LOL. I don't really have many picks that qualify, so not sure how long this will last for. But for now, we wet.
We wet.
Nice
we
beaver. Wet.
We wet beaver.
We wet. She's a lovely young lady, and she wet.
She, I mean, come on. How can you not be embarrassed writing crap like that? Really? And I love her. I think she's awesome.
We wet.
She's got a side boob tattoo.
Yeah, she does, oh, Nick. I never saw
it
that.
It says we pooped.
No.
It's like a little flower.
It's a sunflower.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's on her. It's where the... What would you describe that? Along the rib cage, the curve of where the breast meets... Yeah, it's the boob crease.
Yeah.
Where the boob meets the rib cage.
We wet.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
Super cute and wet.
She posted a Thirsty Thursday post 2 weeks ago as well, so she's been thirsty for a while.
Oh, she's really thirsty.
Or she just gets thirsty on Thursdays.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Well, she's on a special diet where you only drink on Thursday. That's the only liquid you consume for the whole week.
Right. So you're slowly dying throughout the week.
Can't wait till Thursday.
I'm so thirsty.
I'm so thirsty. What day is it?
This is only Tuesday.
God damn.
Oh, I'm never going to make it. I can't wait for Four Almonds Friday. You just eat four almonds on Friday?
Four almonds Friday.
I'm an actress. We wet. Mm. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I queefed and dust came out. It looked like when you blow on one of those candy cigarettes.
The powdered sugar.
We dry.
We dry. All right. Following the success of Murder Mystery, co-starring Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler is extending his deal with Netflix.
Shut up!
And Happy Madison Productions. They first collaborated in 2015's The Ridiculous Six, and since then...
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
The streamers say subscribers have spent more than 2 billion hours watching his films and specials.
He's been huge for Netflix.
Yeah,
and, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you didn't have to go to a movie theater
Steve,
to see them.
And pay... Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And pay cash money out of your hand. I think you're right.
Right.
And you know that it's Sandler, and at least you're going to get something out of it.
Yeah.
So he's currently starring in Hubie Halloween alongside Kevin James, Julie Bowen, Ray Liotta, Maya Rudolph, Rob Schneider, Kenan Thompson, Steve Buscemi, and others for Netflix.
Huh. Ray Liotta. Julie Bowen.
Do you think...
gay?
No. Do you think he's smoking again? Because Ashantex is doing those cold turkey commercials
and
now.
And they haven't used him in a while?
They haven't used him in a while.
I don't know. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah, they got an annoying animated actual cold turkey.
Yes.
Yeah, it really pisses me off.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the bears that use toilet paper.
Yeah.
It just doesn't track.
Yeah, the turkey's got a scarf.
My hiney's clean.
Yeah. All right, one last story. Netflix is ending the successful The Crown franchise with season 5.
This is the one in space.
The surprising news dropped on the heels
of... The Venusians are attacking.
The Queen is the head of that.
Quickly! Yeah. Get to space platform 7.
The surprising news...
I can't even find the keys to my car. Looking for my helmet.
Dropped on the heels of the release of season 3. Meanwhile, Imelda Staunton, who has been here in our studio, has been confirmed as Queen Elizabeth II
in the
final season.
Excellent choice.
I agree. Claire Foy and Olivia Colman, who have been brilliant both in their roles as well, have played her.
Do you know who'd be good, though?
For 2 seasons each. What?
Vanessa Hudgens.
As the Queen?
We are formally wet. We announce that we are formally sopping wet.
Were you wet?
As wet as the river Thames?
She's using the royal we, right?
Yes.
It's very appropriate.
Oh,
we wet.
All right, so they're going to do the fifth season, which is fine. They should wrap it up anyway. And,
well, they're pretty close to.
Yeah, they're getting closer to modern times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. Let's do clips. Below Decks, Ashton Pinar.
Sure.
Yeah. Has been facing controversy on the show's current season with his treatment of women. Here, Ashton comments on being titled a misogynist. Here we go.
I am, like, so tired of this misogynistic word also being thrown around. Especially when it comes
out. I'm so tired of being labeled as misogynist.
What show is this?
It's the one where... it's
Below Deck?
Yeah, these cruises where you rent the yacht, and there is the staff, basically.
Yeah.
The staff of this luxury cruise... And that's what you're following.
It's
what?
Real world on a boat, but it's a really fancy boat. That okay. I got sucked in for a few episodes of it because of the yachts.
Right. And the location.
They throw average people on this?
Yeah, it's like deckhands or whatever. It's, you know, you
would... I thought they said about the flaws of
it.
Oh, so it's about the crew. Yes.
It's about the crew, not the people. Well, their interaction with the people, but predominantly about the crew, who's young and beautiful.
It's not mansion people. It's regular people on mansion boats.
Okay. Right. All right, let's go back to Auschwitz.
I am like... so tired of this misogynistic word being thrown around, especially when it comes my way. I love women, and I love the fact that women exist on this earth.
I
with
love women.
Yeah, right?
I'm so tired of being labeled misogynist. The truth is, I love women. And I love spam. We West.
Yes, thank you.
It really annoys me when people hit me with that misogynistic stick, because I think the world's a better place with women.
With woman, he did it the second time.
Yeah. Where the freak is he from?
I kind of like this guy.
My guess is he's from this show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Remember one of the Preston and Steve girls from years ago interviewed for a sales job here, and she kept telling Jim Antes that she is used to working with all men's?
No. With men's.
Men's. And Jim was like, she said it a number of times.
So he made sure to try to get her to repeat it to make sure.
Yeah.
Did I hear that correct?
It was just me and a bunch of women.
All right. So new episode of Below Deck airs tonight at 8 o'clock on Bravo. Here's the next clip. Pawn Stars. Wow.
Still on the show.
I've not watched that show in ages. Has been chronicling the daily activities of the Gold and Silver Pawn Shop in Vegas for 16 seasons. In this clip, co-owner Rick Harrison dishes on his initial struggles to start the show.
I figured, you know, if I get one of these reality TV shows and get a season or two, it'll be great for business. For 3.5 years, everyone told me no one wants to watch a show about four fat guys in a pawn shop. I eventually proved them wrong.
You just made a mess in my mouth. I remember the first time I stumbled into a marathon. I'm like, this is awesome.
I think you and I had texted each other.
Around the same time. Maybe it was Chuck.
The show is great when they're doing the pawn stuff, when they're actually assessing things and going into the history of stuff. When they're doing what's happening in the back rooms and that stuff.
The fake setups.
It's crap.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Didn't he come out a while ago, by the way?
Rick?
Is
gay?
I believe so. Nick, would you do a check on that?
Interesting.
I believe that's the case.
Okay.
I was at that pawn shop. I had to. I was in Vegas just for, I was, you know, doing like Grand Canyon stuff. So you fly in and out of Vegas. So I'm like, I got to go into this place. And, you know, they have cutouts. And these guys are never there anymore. They're only
They're for the show. Yeah,
they're only there when they're shooting a show. So, but they do have cardboard cutouts of all the popular players.
What I do like is when they bring in their go to guys, like the guys who are the experts on old firearms,
who actually know
stuff. They go to do the research.
I agree. Pawn Stars airs tonight at 10. That's on the History Channel.
Everyone says the misogynist. I don't like this word.
They loves woman.
Yeah, I loves woman. We wet.
Anything about it, Nick?
Which guy?
That is Rick Harrison.
Nothing yet.
Okay.
Anyway, that is
collect them.
My entertainment report for you this morning.
Casey's giving me something to give away.
Ooh,
we got a screening of the live-action Sonic the Hedgehog film, which is going to be a Saturday screening. Wow, okay.
For the chillins.
10 a.m. at the Regal UA Riverview Plaza on South Columbus Boulevard. Let's take five callers. I will give you the movie passes. 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget that Sonic the Hedgehog hits theaters nationwide on February 14th. It is rated PG. So you will get to go to the screening. Let's take a break. Clearly, we got Super Bowl conversations to have. You guys are going to have to bring me up to speed because I didn't see any of it.
That's a whole aspect to talk about.
I'll explain you why when we get back. But we'll return shortly. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Disturbed. Robot.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
To double back to the Wee Wet Vanessa Hudgens thing. So in the story that I had passed along about that Instagram post that she made, I had said she was wearing a suit. I think the prep service that I used forgot to say bathing suit.
I was looking for suit photos, and I skipped right over the bathing suit
photo.
She's
in a pool.
Yeah.
She's and wet. That's why we went.
Right. It's a play on words.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
That's all right. We're going to use it the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
We wet.
I would still say I'm wet.
All right. So
we're wet.
Apparently the Super Bowl was on last night.
Yay. No. Yes. Really? You didn't catch, what, a second of it, right?
Not one tiniest little bit. Not the tiniest little bit. And listen, I do have a good excuse, and I'll rather than dwell on this now, maybe we'll talk about
it. We'll bring it back later.
Later, but my mother, who lives in Florida and is 82 years old, fell down and broke two ribs.
Aww. Yeah.
So I had to take a last-minute flight to Florida, and it's a big deal. Because they needed some help, and this was, she got home, so I was flying yesterday. And by the time I got home, it was after 8. And to be honest, I forgot the Super Bowl was on. And I was beaten. I went to bed. And by the way, I don't like football. There, I said it. Oh, God.
It's not your favorite sport.
I just said it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I didn't see it. So you guys are going to have to. I did read some info about it this morning. And obviously the game was a nail biter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it went down in the fourth quarter.
It was good.
It wasn't a blowout.
No,
so that's good.
There was definitely a level of engaging competition throughout. It's funny though, Preston. I was saying to you, I wonder if you have to have real skin in the game to really get amped up. Like I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the game. Has the Super Bowl lost a bit of its luster?
It depends on who you are. Because, listen, not that long ago we had actor Tim Blake Nelson in.
He's a
phenomenal actor. And we got done with our interview with him. And he leans in and he goes, so who's going to win the NFC East? And we started talking football. I'm like, you need to talk to Casey.
He's a dude. Yeah.
And he was confessing to us. He's like, I will watch any team play anywhere at any level.
Right.
I just love this
game.
So for those people, football still.
It's still a thing. In general, maybe it's just a sense. And it could very well be an inaccurate sense.
No, I think it's inaccurate. I think, Steve, what maybe you're sensing is the fact that the Patriots have kind of like, they've ruled the league for so long.
Sucked the air out of the thing.
And maybe, like, you know, people are tired of that.
Maybe that's a valid point. That could be it. That's an angle that I had not thought about. But maybe you're right. When there's a level of domination in some
When I see the Yankees.
It can make it, whatever.
When I see the Yankees in the World Series, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, totally.
I've seen this before. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's a good assessment.
But overall, assessment of last night.
Good game. Yeah. If you take a general, my thumbnail, and I was jotting notes down through the whole thing. I was talking to you about how formulaic everything is. Everything's mega sponsored. In general, though, an enjoyable game to watch. Then there's the level of the commercials. It's twofold. The commercials, enjoyable, nothing spectacular.
I didn't see one commercial hear one commercial. I could see it.
But you probably heard some of them before, right?
I mean, like Nick, last week,
I don't even know.
85% of them. My wife is sitting there and I said, she goes, oh, I've already seen this. Every the vast majority were already up online to be seen, so there was no big thrill factor there. And a lot of the commercials that I did get thrilled for were real straight ahead, like the Marvel universe that's coming to Disney Plus and stuff like that. That was exciting.
I want to go through a little bit of the timeline here. Obviously, we have the national anthem and things like that. We have some clips we can
play. Yeah, that's a good way.
I haven't heard any of this stuff.
And for the most part, it's weird to do a recap of what is the most, you know, the largest event in
pop
culture.
Everybody already saw it.
Yeah.
Except me.
The sun rose this morning. Yeah. This just in.
If you're going to play the national anthem, I would, we're not going to play the whole thing. I would start maybe halfway into it.
Go ahead and doctor this up.
I thought she sounded great, Steve. I don't know what you're...
So it was Demi Lovato. Yeah. And Demi Lovato, before she, a while ago, you know, she's gone through a lot, obviously, with rehab and everything. She said it was her dream to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Did you see her tweet from like 10 years ago?
Yep, yep. Yeah. And so do you have it at the ready, or where she says
the tweet?
Yeah, yeah. Can you remember what she says exactly?
Not exactly. But
basically, that's the gist of it.
Someday I'm going to sing at the national anthem.
And own a monkey.
And
they said two dreams, Preston.
One day own a monkey. All right, so let's play a little bit of this. Here we go. Sounds good.
O'er the land and the free.
And then at that point, Preston, her monkey comes riding out on a dog with a
really
a
lasso and a flag.
Came through,
dude.
Both dreams came
true. Could you imagine if right at that crescendo where there's normally a flyby, aircraft, and they were doing that, that a monkey riding a dog comes out with an American flag?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Demi Lovato's own monkey.
Wait a second. What if it was a monkey riding on an eagle?
What if it was a monkey?
All right, I'm tuning in.
Piloting an F-14.
Oh, yeah.
All right, both of these are good.
Top monkey.
Right.
What's going on in 2021?
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously, do you think you could get a monkey to fly on any?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, of course.
I could if you nail them.
All right. Yolanda Adams also sang "America to the Beautiful." Are we now doubling up?
I thought she was great. I thought Demi Lovato was good, but it was nothing special.
I don't remember.
They double up now.
Yeah, has that been happening
for a few years?
Few years. Yeah. Okay,
she went first. And then.
All right, so Yolanda jumped up and did it.
Yolanda.
All right.
They also sang that Snoopy Red Baron song.
How much? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 more.
The Bloody Red Baron. Shut up the score.
I guess I took it away.
Why are we singing this? This isn't patriotic at all. Well, he's having a dog fight.
When you go to a roller skating rink, that's when you would shoot the duck, is when they played that song. A lot of people may not remember that. But anyway.
She's an incredibly accomplished gospel singer, Yolanda Adams, sang "America."
Oh, beautiful. For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain.
Why is this the time when we have to be at our most patriotic?
Football, man.
Listen, Preston, you know, there's no, I'm as patriotic as it gets, and yet I was sitting there last night, there was a ton of it. Listen, okay,
sure.
But you pad the F out of this thing.
Yeah.
I
would think, you know, 4th of July, Independence Day,
a proper acknowledgement, yes. The national anthem, the flyover. They even did a wonderful thing with World War II veterans had turned 100 for the 100th anniversary of the
That's amazing.
NFL, Tuskegee Airmen was able to stand up and go do the deal.
That's excellent.
And then he did some break dancing, which I thought was wow.
No. You ain't seen nothing yet. Bust a move, bitches.
But the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to the Super Bowl.
All right. So that's where we do it. I'm going to fast forward this a little bit. It's a little more dynamic.
Beautiful.
Phenomenal.
God shed his grace on me.
Oh, yeah. Better than Demi.
Yeah.
With brotherhood from sea to shining. Shining sea.
I don't know if the audio is on the end of it, but she then throws down the mic and says, "Top that, junkie."
Oh, my God. It wasn't very classy.
I thought that was not classy at all, Kathy. No. That's exactly the word that I said when I saw it.
I mean, listen, in Demi's defense, she's singing a different song, and she didn't have a choir following behind her.
No, I'm just saying the quality of her voice is better than Demi Lovato's.
But Demi brought her monkey.
She did bring a monkey.
And sang the Red Bear.
She's learning how to fly.
I wish that was the national anthem, America the Beautiful. I think it's a better song.
All right. What else do we want to get to here? Halftime? Want to talk about that?
Yeah, we'll go to the halftime.
Please.
Obviously, the game play was... at halftime, it was tied 10-10, Preston. So, they were certainly evenly matched. Casey, yes, bring us in on the football angle.
Well,
your assessment?
I was in a block pool, and my buddy Jeff won 2 straight quarters because he had the 0-0.
Yeah.
He won $1,000. I always get the worst numbers. I had 2 blocks. One was 8-2, and then 8-0. Eight? Wait, how am I going to win with an 8-2 every single year? Back to you, Preston.
There's the football part of it, Steve.
Yeah. For you. But listen, I
just bring you up to speed on the game.
It's funny, though, as Shakira comes out, and Shakira is just phenomenal.
We're watching video of this right now. I have a thing for Shakira. I have had for a long time a thing for her.
This was my halftime show. 100%.
I saw Casey in the elevator this morning, and he said it was all about Kathy last night.
Oh, my God. Oh, like, clearly. I was glued to the TV when Shakira came out, and then J-Lo, and then they performed together. Like, it was like, I was like, this is the greatest thing
I've ever seen. I'll tell you what, though. So Jennifer Lopez's star is a little bit higher, but in raw talent and singing capability and everything, I think Shakira's...
Oh, last night, listen, J-Lo looked great. She did great, but Shakira killed it. I mean, she stole the show.
I've always thought that J-Lo is a good singer. She's not the oh-my-God type singer, what a voice on her. And I've always thought Shakira's a little bit better singer. And she can do the belly dance thing. That's just... That is so insanely sexy to me.
So they had him at a scene with Preston where their butts are to the audience and they're both doing the deal. Now Shakira's is like she's basically like a smoothie machine.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez good as well. There was a lot of grinding and pole dancing and the dance that she was doing that Shakira was doing with all the people was almost looked like a form of step dancing that apparently that type of dancing is from her home that she grew up in, her hometown.
It's a Latin dance, right? Yeah. Is that what you talk about when the guys were next to her?
No, when it was all the girls at the beginning.
They're all dressed in gold. Oh, in the beginning?
Right. Okay. They're doing this very, very meticulous dance step.
I did watch Kathy towards the end. They were throwing J-Lo around like she was a rag doll. I thought that was impressive because
it's football.
She's 50, right?
50?
Yeah. Or at least coming up on 50.
She's 50.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's in great shape.
Excellent shape. How old is Shakira?
44.
They're looking damn good.
Her birthday was yesterday.
And they held up a Puerto Rican flag and an American flag, so they did a little bit of that. And her daughter came out and sang with her?
So,
I didn't realize it was her daughter until this morning.
Yeah, so her daughter comes out and sings with Jennifer Lopez, and we have that audio as well.
All right, let's do that. You wanna live your life. Is that her daughter singing?
Her daughter is singing.
With several other people singing behind her, so you can't exactly hear how good her voice is or not. Okay.
Playing, don't you waste it. Every feeling, every beat can be so very sweet, you gotta taste it.
You think she said, yeah, I'll do it, but only if my daughter can come on stage with me?
No. Listen, the daughter kicks in a little bit.
Let's get loud. Let's get loud.
It's a theme to the Lost Boys.
Come on, people, let's get loud.
you know, the time of halftime shows being what we would probably want them to be is over. I mean, you've got to go. So nuclear spectacle. So as far as it goes, this got the job done. What I did like is that they... Shakira, they played Little Kashmir during her. So that's in the clip there, Preston.
I want to hear that. Here we go.
We are alive, and the stars make
so Zeppelin Kashmir, right?
Yes.
When you touch me, and I'm like, and I'm like.
Let's make the rockers happy for a moment segment.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that. They're singing music rock.
Yeah. She was playing the guitar also at some point.
Okay.
Was she really, though?
She played and Shakira played the drums.
She was blowing into it, okay. But
yeah. Yeah, she's talented. She's got talent.
Yeah, so this is where the Super Bowl is, and this is where it's headed. Steve, did you see the graphic, and do you know who was the halftime act at the very first Super Bowl?
It was Carol Channing.
Yes.
Well, the fourth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks so much for coming out today. I'm going to do a little hoochie dance, and I'm going to say things like, aren't you nice?
Was it 50 years ago? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Super Bowl IV, because Jack Buck called it Joe's father, and the Chiefs were in that one, Casey, so that's why they flashed that up. And I really enjoyed how they brought out all the kids right after the stripper pole stuff.
So J-Lo's basically doing... Basically, what she did in the movie Hustler, whatever the hell that thing is. This,
Hustlers.
But the stripper pole stuff. Yeah. Yay!
You know what? I was trying to think about it while I was, just thinking back about Super Bowls of yore. And when it started getting ridiculous over the top like this, like it has been for a long, long, long time now. Do we have Michael Jackson to thank for that? Is he one of the first ones that really started to
blew it out?
A gazillion... extras and dancers and effects and things like that.
What happened was when they gave full sponsorship to the halftime show, whatever.
Halftime show.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I remember clearly, Preston, before like celebrities, there was a lot of gimmicks. And I remember one of the gimmicks was, remember you had to pick up 3D glasses at 7-Eleven and watch the halftime show was going to be in 3D.
Right.
Do you remember that? So they were doing all these gimmicks. Yeah. Now this is really, this is what it's about. A massive performance spectacle. So you're not going to get Tori Amos out on stage.
It's really long, too. I mean, it just kept going.
Was this longer than previous years?
I don't know, but it seemed
like it was.
And, you know, if you were a fan of either team or on either one of those teams, the halftime must have just... What, half hour, maybe something like that? Because they go to so many commercials, then they come back and they show Jimmy Johnson and Michael Strahan dancing on the sideline.
I wonder what that does to players.
Well, so that's something that they have to take into consideration because it's way longer than a normal halftime is 15 minutes long.
Right. Muscles will tighten up and things like that. They've got to, I would imagine, I don't know if they're jumping on a bike or whatever, and they, you know, in the locker room and kind of keeping the muscles warm.
Actually, I think they're the backup dancers is what's happening.
Oh, is that what it is? They get them up there to do the routine.
Let me ask you, though, to that point, I never even thought about that, right?
Yeah.
The length of that, you start to then cool down. You start to do that. But that seems to be no consideration. There's no problem with that. Yeah.
Dear God, no. All right. What else we have?
Then we
here?
Have the final, the wrap up of the game. So at where things started to turn for the Chiefs.
Oh, before we do that, Steve, somebody I've seen a couple of texts and Shakira was doing something with her tongue last night.
She was doing
like
a tongue flicking thing that immediately became a GIF or a GIF or whatever you want to call it.
Like oral,
she goes right up to the camera. Blah, 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 blah. The only thing that was missing was her two fingers spread apart.
Did she just do it one time real quick or was
she
it like
she did
a
it
concert?
For a couple of seconds
really?
Coming up to the camera.
Okay.
And so people were captioned. I captioned it like no one gave a Brazilian like Esmeralda.
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Okay. All right. And then we have the wrap up of the game.
Yes, the last two plays.
1 minute left. Here we go.
I would have shut that play down, obviously. Now second and six. Williams makes a cut and will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. down. No flags.
There were a lot of plays, and there was so much action down at the in the end zone case for this mm-hmm. particular Super Bowl. Where I was like, "Is he in?
Yeah.
Did he make it? It was a crazy amount of that. Would you agree?
Yeah. I thought that go ahead touchdown by Damian Williams, not that one, but the one before that. Man, it was so close to like. I mean, I'm talking inches. I mean, honestly, if they came back, because they reviewed it, and they came back and the play was upheld, but I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have said, we're going to spot it at the one-inch line.
The game ends. So there was an interception and then the Chiefs win, basically.
But how many players have come and gone, great players, great coaches for the Chiefs that have not been able to taste this moment? This is Pitt. Kendall Fuller up to get it. And that will end this game. And they have done it. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami. As they win it here in Super Bowl 54.
Can I go back to the beginning of that clip, Casey?
Yes, sir.
Because Fox and I guess other networks do too. But every now and then they just play a sound effect that just goes.
Yeah.
Like that. And I don't know why they do that. Hang on.
But how many players have come and gone? Great players.
There it was. Did you hear it?
Yeah. A lot of times they're putting up a graphic and they figure that you really can't accept a graphic without the sound of a thud.
Of something heavy dropping.
Oh, my God. Where was the sound?
We need to do that here. I don't know why we would do that, but anytime like when I set the sponsorship after I read the Bizarre File sponsor, it's almost as if I drop something heavy. Okay. It's brought to you by, traffic and NJM Insurance Group traffic. There you go.
As if the
copy weighed 30 pounds and I just dropped it on the ground. Brought to you by Steven Singer Jewelers. I like that.
It's a good way to accent.
Preston and Steve show runs on Duncan.
I'm down with it.
All right. Thank you.
I like that better. going up for the interception.
Okay.
So that was that, and then obviously the review, the commercials.
The commercials. By the way,
Carly Lloyd was in a few different spots.
Was she?
Yeah. I mean, that's great. She's a Jersey girl.
Hope Solo's butthole held a press conference.
The one that I wanted. And that's all she had to say. The one that I wanted to see, and for those who are just tuning in, I didn't see the Super Bowl. I had a bit of a family emergency, so I was traveling yesterday. I wanted to see the Bill Murray spot. That's the only one I was really interested in seeing.
So they went to great lengths to redo the Groundhog Day. It's a commercial for Jeep, and we have the audio for it. But they brought in all the people you'd want.
Yeah, so Brian Doyle Murray was in. Was he?
I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in
there. He hands on the groundhog.
Yeah.
All right, here's him.
Okay, campers, rise and shine. It's Groundhog Day. And don't forget your booties because it's cold out there today.
Phil? Hey, Phil?
No, not you.
It's me, man.
So they got all these guys back.
Yeah. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Okay. Yep. Ryerson.
Okay, little fella. Good job.
That's different.
Good job.
Hey! All right, so what's the gist of the spot?
Anyway? It is different. It's not the same Groundhog Day because now he's got a Jeep instead of that red truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's happy to get up every morning because he's got this Jeep he can go jump in.
There were no big laugh out loud howl moments.
I saw the one ahead of time, the Bryan Cranston Mountain Dew one with the Shining. I thought that was kind of weak.
Yeah, a lot of them were weak. There was one. We love Charlie Day. I love him to death. Love that, obviously It's Always Sunny, but there was a Tide commercial that was sort of ongoing throughout the whole thing.
I thought it was interesting how it weaved in like Bud Light commercials and Pepsi commercials. And the product that Charlie Day was selling was Tide.
Yeah.
And yet there's all this cross promotion going on. It wasn't a Bud Light commercial, but there's Charlie Day doing a Tide commercial with the Bud Light Knight in the background.
And then it was a Procter & Gamble had a whole bunch of different ads in one, like Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there was a whole bunch of different, the Charmin Bear and all that sort of
stuff.
Well,
the Mr. Peanut had Kool-Aid guy, and, and so there's...
And they did that. Yeah.
By the way, with the Mr. Peanut, they did have a funeral commercial.
They had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you saw why.
Right.
They had to. There was a big reveal at the end, and...
We have the audio if you want to hear that.
Sure. Here we go.
Yeah.
Mr. Peanut, he spent his life bringing people together. I know he'd be happy that we are all together now.
Yeah.
What is happening?
What is that? Is that a baby nut?
Just kidding. I'm back.
So the baby peanut is making dolphin sounds.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, well, oh my God, what is this? And then he says, just kidding, I'm back. So yeah. Mr. Peanut is back.
Okay, because they originally, they were going to scrap this.
They were going to scrap the whole thing.
You know what they must have done? I bet they had, I bet they did some research. They did some focus groups and said, will this offend you in light of the Kobe Bryant thing? And I bet they, because listen, they spent all that money.
Well, the first part they didn't air. The one where, I mean.
He goes off, the vehicle goes off the cliff and they crashed. Right. That did not air.
That did not
that
air.
That was supposed to air. Yeah. So maybe that was the big change up.
Right.
The one that actually got in one of the highest ratings, and they always have these assessment surveys of audiences and how they react to the commercials, Google's commercial for the Google device, the Home Assistant, where this older man is calling up pictures of his deceased wife. And it's responding.
Yeah, I saw a little clip of that. I got a little choked up watching
My wife was flat out crying. I'm Diane, I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, but like it wasn't like, oh, this that's so sweet. Like, but sorry. Like I looked over and like tears gushing. I was like, oh my gosh.
Mm. All right, here we go.
Hey Google, show me photos of me and Loretta. Remember? Loretta hated my mustache. Remember, Loretta loved going to Alaska and scallops. Show me photos from our anniversary. Remember, she always snorted when she laughed. Play our favorite movie.
Show me some topless pictures.
Sure, I knew. I knew you wouldn't let it rest.
Show me some pictures of Loretta's knockers. She had that one nipple that seemed to always point to Illinois.
This touching
God,
moment.
She had a Matty Beaver.
Ruined by Steve Morrison.
Yeah, seriously.
Give me one of those.
Ruined.
Beaver
ruined.
By Steve Morrison.
Show me that dump Loretta took where the turd looked like a banana split.
Is this Rocky?
It's just what we have that's close enough to the music.
Like, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Google match the music.
Google match the music.
Google, show me the pictures of the time she was on a period, but we made love anyway.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
You took pictures of that?
Stanley, why did you take pictures of this?
Pictures of that for?
Because it was a moment. God, she had a Matty Beaver.
Looking at it now, it kind of looks like one of those rugs from the 70s.
Preston, did you see the Jason Momoa commercial?
No, I read about it.
Okay.
And
that
I,
was a home run. It's all visual.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, the audio of it doesn't really lend anything to it, but he basically strips down, takes off all his muscles, removes a hairpiece.
Yeah.
And Lisa Bonet has a cameo at the end, too.
I desperately want to see that because, yeah, like all his muscles, everything's fake. Yeah. All the studly stuff about him is not real.
He's super short. Yeah.
He can relax when he gets at home.
It was funny because when he first takes his shoes off, I was like,
he got shorter.
Did he just get shorter?
Yeah. We're watching it right now, and this is great.
I love it. They photoshopped him to look really skinny. And then the hair comes off. That's excellent.
And then he's lifting weights at the end. And basically Lisa Bonet is able to lift it with one hand. But she's like, you're doing great, honey. It's fine.
It's just a bar sans weights on it.
I love that guy. His self-deprecation and humor. He's right in the zone. So that's perfect. That was for Rocket Mortgage, by the way, the client. Now, I did read about... celebrity cameos, well, not cameos, but spokes, people who were paid for this. So, like, I know MC Hammer
Don't
was
be Loretta's sister.
you took the center?
The one I took to the open bathroom door. Yeah, that's the one.
The open bathroom door. She was trying to fix the sink and her fingers got stuck in the.
Right.
Google, show me the pictures of the kids that you walked by our house on the way to school.
So I saw that MC Hammer was in a Cheetos spot, right?
Yes. It was clever.
I liked it a lot. That was actually one of my favorite ones. Basically, Press, this guy realizes that because he's got Cheeto cheesy fingers, that he doesn't have to help anybody do things.
Like, he can't touch this.
Yeah, hey, can somebody grab these papers out of the printer? And he sees that he's got Cheeto fingers. He's like, oh, never mind. I'll ask somebody else.
Right. I can't touch this.
And they were advertising Cheetos popcorn. Now, one that I did like, I forget which one it was, Casey, but it ended up with a guy with his head up his own ass.
Oh, yeah.
And it was somebody at work. You know, you say these derogatory comments that you say to coworkers.
Yep.
And they were all manifested.
Oh, what do you got, your head in the sand?
Yeah. But she doesn't say, the guy just comes in with his head up his ass. She's obviously said that to him. But it was well done. But it was, did any stand out to you, any of you, for... Well, besides the Google, which
until
was
this
touching.
Morning, the Google one was really hit me in the feels. I like the Snickers one where they had the giant hole and they were tossing people.
That was smart. That was actually before. So Preston, the Snickers can change people's attitude, and they're basically saying in general the attitude of the planet is not where it should be. So they create an immense hole. And they drop a gigantic Snickers bar down into the hole.
Okay.
And Luis Guzman was in it.
Yes. Yeah.
I appreciate
was
it.
He?
Yeah.
I love him. Some of the other celebs that showed up, J-Lo was in a Hard Rock International spot.
That was annoying.
Oh, it made no sense.
It made no sense.
They tried to do too much.
Yeah,
A-Rod was... Did you see that one,
Yeah,
Steve?
She has this diamond-encrusted water cup with a straw, and it gets stolen out of her. She's at, I guess, at the Wynn in Vegas.
And no, it was a Hard new Rock International.
Was it the Hard Rock? Oh, Hard
Rock.
Yeah,
it's the new one that's shaped like a guitar.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't it be?
By Fort Lauderdale. And but I don't even know what the commercial was for. If it was for Hard Rock or for J-Lo.
How much of an impact it makes. You can't discern what it was for. That's a bad sign.
I'll throw these at you because I'm reading these in the celebrity. So John Legend and Chrissy Teigen did a Genesis commercial.
It was cute for the car.
That one missed the mark, but I was okay with it.
How about this? Martin Scorsese and Jonah Hill in a Coca-Cola energy spot.
There was a little too much going on, I thought. You know, they're trying to do... Listen, you only got 30 seconds.
Yeah, when you cram a lot of story into it, you've lost me. Keep it simple.
Get a simple joke in there if you're going to do a joke. have the old guy looking through the pictures to tug at the heart or whatever, but... You know, make it clear.
Let's see. Post Malone was in a Bud Light seltzer commercial.
I'd seen that one 6 times before the Super Bowl aired.
I had not.
Yeah.
But as I was watching it, I was like, he's not allowed to drink that in the store, right?
Yeah,
because Press, he's at the beer fridge, and he's like, he's going to get Bud Light, and then he sees the seltzer, and he's like, oh, what's this all about? And then he starts drinking the seltzer to see what it tastes like. And
Before
I'm like,
he paid for it?
Yeah, I'm like, you're not allowed to do that.
Do you notice, though, what they did is they had the guys who are in that commercial sitting in the stands? So they cut to them, they cut to the actual live game, Preston, and some of the people from the commercial are sitting in the stands watching the game.
Oh, interesting. All right. Lil Nas and Sam Elliott were in a Doritos Cool Ranch commercial.
So they're drawing down on each other, and they have kind of a dance-off, and Sam Elliott's mustache is doing tricks. Okay. It's okay. It's all right. Nothing blew me away. Yeah.
By the way, I've seen a guy do that mustache trick in real life. Did you ever see the video? There's a guy who
makes it, because he's got
no teeth, and he uses his tongue to, like, you know, on the top of his mouth, and he makes the mustache move like a caterpillar.
Hot.
It's
pretty awesome. Let's see. Then you have Ellen DeGeneres and Portia De Rossi did an Alexa spot. I think I saw that one ahead of time.
That's good.
That's for the mobile Alexa.
But it was kind of like what, you know, what you ask Alexa to do, but over time, you know, so like back in the 1800s, Alexa, tell me something new.
Right.
And then it was, you know.
Alex, tell me something new.
Yeah.
There were two electric car commercials that I felt were pretty good. One for Porsche, and then there's apparently an H2 Hummer that's electric that's coming out.
And Maisie Williams did one for the
e-tron.
For the e-tron, the Audi.
Then Michelob Ultra had Jimmy Fallon and John Cena.
Working out and
Jimmy
training.
Fallon, yeah, trying to work. Works out with John Cena, but struggles to keep up. That's what it says here. Okay. The description. It was just okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Those are the only ones I saw with celebs in it.
You know, it's just you can tell that the buzz is not exactly, you know. You remember, I think we probably hit the absolute zenith 6-7 years ago, 8 years ago maybe, when it was just, you know. You know, I guess after What's Up, after that campaign.
Yeah, that was probably 15 years
ago. Yeah, 15 years ago. And then it just kept going up and up and up and up. And everyone was trying to, you know, the Budweiser commercials and all that stuff were just, well, what are they going to do?
I thought the funniest and wittiest one was the Pac the Ka one. But I saw that last week, you know.
Right.
And so it was well done and had Big Poppy and the three Boston actors. But I wonder if. What the percentage of people that have seen them in advance? Because part of our job is to see them ahead of time. I don't know if anybody, you know, everybody that's tuning into the Super Bowl has seen them in advance.
They just like pop up into timelines also. But
not everybody's on social media or online as much as we are. I wonder if more people see them for the first time during the Super Bowl than we think do.
I'm going to say probably less than we think because, again, with YouTube, the spots will jump up. They make sure, obviously, YouTube owns the whole system so they can pop those commercials in and get them exposure.
So there was a Rick and Morty spot for Pringles. Was Molly Ringwald was in a commercial?
Yes.
Avocados, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then
what was that commercial for?
Home Shopping Channel. He was the host of the Home Shopping Channel, and they basically had like helmets for avocados, like baby carriers.
The pool float.
Yeah.
And Nick, somebody said there was a Pearl Jam song in a Verizon commercial.
What?
Yeah, Pearl Jam is, there was a Verizon 5G, and Verizon is giving credit to first responders and heroes, and they're saying that 5G is going to change the way the world communicates, but they're not the ones that have done the best to change the world. The people who are actually changing the world deserve all the credit, and we're just giving them a platform with which to do it. But Pearl Jam had some music in that, and then Pearl Jam put that on social media as well.
No kidding.
Yeah. New Pearl Jam, I assume?
You know what, Case? I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's a clip of the song. Dance of the Clairvoyants.
I forgot about that. And within all that, there was a game, too.
Yes. So all of that. So I think as we, and it ended at a reasonable time.
Did it?
Yeah. See, okay. Like, what, 9? It was pretty much
No, it was after 10.
I didn't watch the post. The actual game ended when? It didn't end.
After 10.
Did it?
Yeah, because I had to pick my son up at his buddy's house, and I got there.
Oh.
I left my house at like 10 o'clock.
I must have been in a state of delirium.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, there you go. Super Bowl 54. It has come. It is gone.
Do you feel you missed out on it?
I was actually so happy I didn't watch it, man. I'm not a football guy, and I had some personal things on my mind.
Yes.
And didn't get a chance to see it. So, to be honest, I woke up today and the sun came up. So, it was okay that I missed the Super
Life
Bowl
went
last
on.
Night. Yeah, exactly. You know what? I've realized it is 8 a.m. and we need to. Yeah. This is the last day of Easy Money. So this is your final opportunity, your final five opportunities.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes?
I'll just leave it there.
Okay. Your opportunity to win the money. So let's do this. Here we go.
93.3 WMMR. Easy Money.
All right, so the word is idea. That is the word, IDEA, and you have until 8:15 to enter it via text to the special contest short code number 45911. Or you can enter using the MMR mobile app or via the contest page at WMMR.com to be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. You'll get a call if you're randomly selected in this Beasley Nationwide contest and you win $1,000. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. So let me give that to you again. IDEA is the word. IDEA. Good luck from Meineke and 93.3 WMMR. Casey, should we do our concert announcement when we come back?
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so we'll return in a little bit. We got the B-File. Sorry about the late getting into this stuff, but, you know, Super Bowl's last
week.
We definitely had to talk about it. So when we get back, we'll give you the concert announcement, the B-File, and more. Stay with us.
Ah, springtime is in the air early. As we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020. Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion.
Oh, wow. Disturbed. Show you the
light. Royal Blood. I only lie
when I love you. The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome. I don't practice Santeria. The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing.
Puddle of Mud.
Crowbot.
Dirty Honey.
Mongolian Metalheads, The Who.
And Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and The Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Around 9 o'clock, we are going to have actor Aidan Gillen on. If you watched Game of Thrones, you know him as Lord Baelish or Littlefinger. He will be on to talk about the second season of Project Blue Book, and looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's a cool guy.
Now, we would normally slide right into the Bizarre File, but we were supposed to do a concert announcement a few minutes ago, so I want to go ahead and do that first.
Yes, it's too important not to.
If you do not mind. So MMR is excited about this show, Wednesday, July 8th at Citizens Bank Park, and since it is at Citizens Bank Park, you know it's going to be a big show. MMR announces the return of Guns N' Roses. GNR performing Wednesday, July 8th at Citizens Bank Park. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon via Ticketmaster.com. And yes, there will be a pre-sale that is taking place. And that'll be this Thursday. And you got 12 hours on that pre-sale. So we're talking 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. WMMR.com is for the pre-sale password and the complete details. So you want to make sure that you go to the website to check the information to find out how you can get tickets ahead of time. Now, you want to listen to Jackie and Jackson this week because they're going to have tickets before you can buy them. Pretty sweet deal. So let me mention again, Guns N' Roses, Wednesday, July 8th. Citizens Bank Park, and tickets go on sale Friday at noon. There is a pre-sale, which is going to be Thursday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. And you can want to go to WMMR.com for the pre-sale password and the complete details. Or you could win a pair of tickets right now. We will take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give you a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses. So go ahead and give us a call, and we wish you good luck. In the meantime, we're going to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
All right, so let's get into it. I got some stories that I have pulled aside for you. Let's start with this one. A woman dressed as Minnie Mouse got into a brawl on the Las Vegas Strip, caught on a now-viral video. Minnie lost her head, literally.
Oh, damn it.
And she repeatedly threw haymakers at a redheaded woman wearing a jacket with the word security on the back of it.
Son of a bitch!
At least one of her wild punches hit her partner, Mickey, as he tried to intervene in the ferocious-looking attack.
What did he hit me for?
A man dressed as Goofy looked bemused as he watched on, with Minnie yanking her opponent to the ground by pulling her hair, then mounting her as she continued a steady series of MMA-style blows.
So I'm going to guess these aren't sanctioned Disney characters, right?
My favorite part is after finally getting pulled off the woman, Minnie took off her large costume shoes, ran off after shouting, "I ain't no bitch, bitch!"
Man, Minnie's much different than I remember her.
It was not immediately clear what started the brawl, although another short clip showed the two women in a shouting match before it took place. A spokesman for Las Vegas police said it was aware of the event, but a victim had not come forward and filed a complaint.
I think the lady in the security, she said, "I didn't say you were crazy. I said you were effing goofy," is what she said.
Oh, that's what it was. And then she said, "I ain't no bitch, bitch." Okay.
A Kansas fire chief removed a boa constrictor that was at least 6 foot long after a man found it in his couch cushions.
Whoa!
Police received an unusual call Monday morning when a man said he found a, quote, giant brown snake in his living room couch while looking for his keys.
Jeez.
The man does not own a snake and did not know where it came from.
I don't own a snake.
The fire chief removed the snake, which was identified as a red-tailed boa constrictor, from the couch.
Well, we also found your cat.
He said, I messed with him a little bit, and I took my gloves off. You could handle him real easy. He was very gentle, very docile.
I think it's always safe to mess with a snake you find in your couch.
Yeah, they believe the snake was at least 6 feet long, but could have been as long as 8 feet. No one knows how it got into the couch. The boa constrictor is now in the care of a pet shop until someone comes forward to claim it. If no one does, it may be donated to an area program that travels to schools teaching kids about reptiles. Villagers in India, I love this story, that are being terrorized by more than 2,000 wild monkeys, claim to have found an unconventional way to tackle the simian menace, and that is by dressing up as bears.
They dress up as bears?
Yes.
Wow. And that scares them.
To scare the monkeys away.
I'm a bear.
Sagandupar village dressed two villagers in bear costumes to try scaring away the monkeys after the forest department ignored their pleas for help.
This is so stupid.
And according to Ram Lalit Verma, he said, we have now started taking turns in wearing the bear costume and roaming around. He's the village head, by the way. He said, it was a relative who had told me about the idea, and it's actually working. Villagers donated money to buy three costumes from a makeup artist for about 1,700 rupees, which is like $25.
That's a lot.
The village now claims that the trick has led to a drastic dip in monkey attacks. There have previously been 150 reports of such attacks, which especially targeted children. The forest department had told villagers that a lack of funds has prevented them from doing much about the exploding monkey population.
No way!
But they decided that dressing up as a bear would work, and sure enough, it's starting to.
Do they have to act as a bear? Just simply the sight of them looking bearish is enough to repel the monkeys?
I'm not sure, Steve, if they're going around.
But you have to perform a little bit.
You might have to earn your keep and perform a little bit. Yeah. Listen to this. This hurts just thinking about it. A Detroit woman is facing an assault charge after authorities say she bit off the tip of her friend's tongue when they were kissing.
Whoa!
She bit off about a one-inch piece of the man's tongue.
Ew, that's a chunk.
That's a big chunk, yeah. Yulette Wedgeworth, 52 years old, is being held in the county jail after the sheriff's office charged her with one count of aggravated assault.
I think this is someone who could play Minnie Mouse.
Authorities allege that she was visiting her 68-year-old friend at his apartment. They were engaged in consensual kissing, and she bit off the man's tongue. Now, police arrived and found the man bleeding from his mouth and missing piece of tongue measuring about an inch. Police were able to recover the piece of tongue in the bedroom of the man's apartment.
Show me when Loretta bit my tongue off.
The victim and suspect, listen to this, were old friends.
Yeah.
They said they were not in a dating relationship, while the victim said they were. The two started to kiss in the victim's apartment, and the victim put his tongue in the suspect's mouth. He said the suspect told the victim not to do that, and the two started kissing again, and the suspect bit off part of the man's tongue.
Don't put your tongue in my mouth. They got tobacco in there.
I don't know why they were doing this. Wedgeworth was taken into custody, obviously, for biting the man's tongue.
There's nine levels of horrible in that story.
Yep. All right, and then we got time for one more. Grand Valley State's offensive coordinator, Morris Berger, resigned Thursday, days after saying in a story for the school's newspaper that Nazi Party leader Adolf Hitler's ability to lead was second to none. And it's kind of interesting why he would have said it. So,
why is he a shop teacher?
No, he was asked if he could have dinner with three historical figures. Who would they be? So he listed Hitler.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy, right, and Christopher Columbus.
All right.
And he said, this is probably not going to get a good review, but I'm going to say Adolf Hitler. He has a history degree, by the way, this guy.
Okay.
He said it was obviously very sad and he had bad motives, but the way he was able to lead was second to none. How he rallied a group and a following. I want to know how he did that.
I just know he would get us a great table.
Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny he was a great leader, this guy says.
Yeah.
Or some might use the word manipulator, I think, might be more.
Well, you got to watch that fine line where you start to compliment Hitler.
Exactly.
Especially for school kids.
He was suspended, but pending an investigation, and he has since resigned after that.
That Hitler.
Yeah, no.
Nah, you listen. A loser, for sure. But there were some elements.
Snappy dresser.
Snappy dresser. Kept his mustache groomed.
Made the VW bug, you know.
Absolutely. Had a dog.
Had a dog. All right, there you go. That's what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we just announced that Guns N' Roses tickets are, Guns N' Roses coming to town. Wednesday, July 8th at Citizens Bank Park. Tickets go on sale Friday. Details, WMMR.com. Don't miss the information. Let's take another break. Come back in just a moment or two. Don't forget, we also have a chance for you to win $500 this morning. If you don't win with the easy money, we have $500 to watch and win with Dr. Oz. Now, today's question is not about yesterday's show because there was no show yesterday. So it's going to be like a generic question. Got a good shot at winning this
game
without seeing the show. And then we'll give you the details on how you can possibly take a shot at $500 every single day on the Preston and Steve Show. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, Aidan Gillen from Project Blue Book. Blue Book will be joining us, and I'm excited to talk to him because he's one of my most favoritist evil love-to-hate characters on Game of Thrones. He was Littlefinger.
You really do appreciate the well-done villain.
Oh, my God. He was excellent.
And he was also in Bohemian Rhapsody and other things. Yeah.
So he'll be on in a little bit. As we had mentioned earlier, we were doing a Super Bowl recap. I didn't see, I mean, not even a second of it this year. I had a family emergency on Wednesday. My mother, who lives in St. Petersburg, Florida, fell, and she's 82 years old.
Yeah.
And she broke two of her ribs. Yeah, pretty nasty. And so, you know, especially when you're that age, things can get really, really bad from a fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went down there. I you know, bought a ticket and headed down. So I was flying. I was traveling yesterday, so that's why I didn't see any of the Super Bowl. And I'm glad I went because not only just to go and comfort my mom, but she lives with my sister, and my sister is pretty feeble physically. She's got really bad back problems, really bad shoulder issue, and her left arm she's had problems with for years and years. So when you get someone who has broken ribs, and especially if they're elderly like that, even though you want to keep them immobile to keep them from, you know, making things worse, you still have to get them up and move them.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody who's had broken ribs or dealt with anyone who has had broken ribs before as well knows that movement is excruciating.
Oh, man.
And so you have to move them. You have to do it, and you're hurting them while you're moving them. So I'm glad I went because my sister wouldn't have been able to do it. She wouldn't have been able to support my mom's weight to get her to stand up, to hold on to her as she's walking around, try and keep moving. Then you have to do these. They give you this device that you have to breathe in through. You have to draw your air in and make this little meter go up. And that's to help keep from an important thing when you get elderly is when you get a traumatic injury like this is pneumonia.
Yeah. Right.
Your body's immune system overreacts.
It's a critical issue,
and it can cause pneumonia.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, falls and things like that.
No kidding.
A lot of people end up dying from pneumonia case.
Oh, wow.
So there are these, essentially, these breathing things you have to do.
Jesus.
To try to keep that from happening. So we have to, every hour she has to do these breathing things. And if you've broken ribs, it hurts to breathe.
Yeah.
It hurts to breathe, hurts to do anything. Burping.
Sneezing.
Coughing. Sneezing would be excruciating, I'm sure. So I spent the last couple of days hearing, and I don't know if you've ever, Steve, you probably have, heard someone that you love in agonizing, screaming pain.
Yeah.
And this is my mother, and I don't mean to bring you guys down on all this, but that's what that was my weekend. But on the good side of things, by the time I left yesterday, I saw improvement.
Oh, okay.
So that's really good.
A quick question, if I may.
Sure.
Who's going to carry on in your stead?
So fortunately, I saw the improvement that I wanted to see, and she was able to yesterday, by the time I left, by using her walker, able to pull herself up into a standing position by herself.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Now, I'm not going to recommend she do that every time. My sister is going to help her, but she doesn't have to take all of her body weight.
Right.
So my sister can help a little bit, but to be able to lift my mom all the way up the way I was doing, there's no way she would have been able to do it. So I was glad I got down there and able to help out.
Does she need a nurse?
Well, so they're going to their primary doctor today. Right. They just got out of the hospital. And I'm sure that they're going to have a caregiver come over and be able to help out, three, four times a week or however often they need to, because there's things like bathing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw things that I will never be able to unsee again.
Yeah. It's what happens. It's what happens.
Meld things and, I mean, like bodily functions.
Did you have to wipe hineys and stuff like that?
I didn't do that, but it was a rough weekend. It was a tough weekend.
I've been there, man. It's especially someone that you adore more than anything, know, but it's weird. Just in general, no matter what your age, breaking ribs.
Oh, God.
Because let's face it, your lungs are working constantly. It's your core. Wherever you move, it's going to be an issue. Thank God I've never had. I've had bruised and sore ribs, and that was enough. I can't imagine.
So where she
broken ribs?
Where she broke them was I think they were the fifth and sixth. So they're in her back. Left hand side. She had she was walking when it happened, and she had gotten dizzy. She has these dizzy spells. She's had these what they call mini strokes. They're not a full on stroke thing, but they're not good.
Is that obviously why she fell?
Well, maybe it might have been because she had this dizzy spell, and she was and my sister was in the other room, and she stumbled and then recorrected and went back the other way, and then she fell over the coffee table, and her back landed on the coffee table. Boom, went down.
Was she
but you
by
know
herself?
What we do have? No, my sister was in the other room.
Okay.
But I did, because my mom has fallen a few times, I set them up with the life alert thing, the Mrs. Fletcher, I've fallen.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
So they called me before my sister even called me.
Wow.
So yeah, they were on it, and they got the paramedics there right away.
Those auto show tickets?
Yeah. That was me.
Yeah.
It was
sorry,
it was tough. It was a tough weekend, but I'm glad. I'm really glad I went.
That first alert thing, just on that, you see the commercials. It's like that. To hear them that they responded and got to you that quickly is a good thing, because obviously anybody in your life, it doesn't matter what the situation. If you're caring after someone or someone is in a bad way, you always worry. You know.
Yeah.
And to know that they could. In a situation where they're sprawled on the floor or something like that.
Yeah.
And they can't get up, this would work.
We didn't get this one, but they can detect when you fall.
Okay.
They have a motion detector of sorts.
The watches will now. Apple watches in general have that device, which is, it shows whether you've fallen.
Right.
And it can sort of mimic a first alert thing as well. So I don't know how elaborate it gets, but it's one of the new health features on the Apple Watch.
So I'm at a position right now where it's a really weird spot to be in as to, okay, where do we go from here?
You
know what I mean? Because my mom's only getting older, and my sister can only care to a certain extent. I'm like, we need to start having some very frank discussions here about the future
And so that's very adult for me.
Yeah.
And I also don't know who to talk to about these things. And
I think Gary Lauer.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's got a good beat on things. He seems to really have his head on straight. No, let me ask you your considerations.
Oh.
She doesn't want
to be in a home.
She doesn't want to be in a home.
No.
How about a tent?
Let me go back okay. to Gary Lauer. Because right. I saw my mom for the first time without her jam in.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Without all the jam was out.
Yeah.
And I saw my mom as a very old
person.
Woman.
Yeah.
It was really hard. It was,
you know what though? And it was tough. The thing is that, you know, it was tough for you, but it's tough for them too.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean? For her to maybe not have her teeth in and, you know, and to have you to do those things for her. Like that's all going that mentally for them. That's rough.
At one point I had to say, Mom, your boob's hanging out.
See, like,
and she was like, what? She looked down. And she's like, and she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. All right, okay.
So it was very, very funny. but I was like, okay, that's there forever now.
It's like when I saw my grandmother changing her top.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is in Flagler Beach, Florida.
Oh. God.
And I didn't know the house, and I went into a room that I thought was our room. And it was
right.
Grandma's
was that worse
room.
Than seeing your mom fillet your dad?
It was worse than watching 100 children burn to death. I could not eradicate that. Because also his grandma who buys me ice cream at the, you know.
Yeah.
I don't need a champagne room show from grandma.
Well, so my uncle who came by to visit while I was there said that now my grandmother, his mother, he said when she was at a later stage in life, he came by to visit and I guess they were bathing her and this was at the hospital and he came in and she was, I mean, full on in the buff
naked. Oh,
and Curtis told me, she looked at me and she goes, well, hi.
I guess at a certain point,
you don't care.
It is what it is, man.
But he was like, that just did it for me. That killed me. You know, just seeing her naked like that was just, oh my God. I hoped to go through my entire life to never see that, but he did. Dr. Mike's on the line. We'll talk to him real
quick. Absolutely. He'll have some insight.
Dr. Mike Sirigliano, Penn Medicine, Fox 29. Good morning, sir.
I'm so sorry to hear about that.
Yeah.
I went through this with my mother, who had Alzheimer's and passed away about a month ago. Bottom line is, when you're an adult child taking care of a loved one, it's a tough job. And so, number one, the most important thing I want to tell everyone is, if she broke a rib, they're going to give her a little device called an incentive spirometer, and that's where she takes deep breaths.
Yep.
Because she can get pneumonia.
Yes.
If she doesn't expand those lungs.
And I was being very diligent on, all right, you know, we got to do it. You were supposed to do it every hour. Come on, Mom.
Yeah.
She didn't want to do it. I'm like, we got to do this. I'm like, pneumonia ain't worth it, you know?
Mm. Right. There's a term, it's called atelectasis, and that's where the lung is not fully expanded. And that is a setup for pneumonia. And, you know, falling in the elderly is a major, major problem, and the mortality rate is very high. She's very, very lucky.
Mm. Yeah, and no, so, we had a good friend, a fellow coworker, who lost a mother because
it was
a direct result of a fall from, you know, so it's serious when it happens to seniors, for sure.
So the thing you're going to have to do, Preston, is you're going to have to talk with your sister and talk with the family, because the mortality is so high. You're going to have to figure out how we have to prevent this from happening again.
And yeah.
It's a tough decision. When my dad passed away, I got my mother over to Marist Grove, and they have independent living, and I mean, wherever you go, the bottom line is she has to be safe. And so the first thing, if she's going to be at her home, was she living alone or
no, my sister lives with her, but she was in the other room, so you know.
All right, so what has to happen is they have to have visiting nurses come to the house and assess the house for safety and decide whether they need railings, bedside commode, things like that.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to do. But I was feeling your pain. I went through it with my mom.
Yeah, I appreciate we saw it.
I thought about calling you actually, but we were we were pretty busy this weekend. So I'll get in touch and you can steer me in the right direction. Okay.
It would be my honor and pleasure. And speaking of bodies that are naked,
yes.
Believe me, I've seen things.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that
me.
No man nor beast should see.
I'm sure, man.
Oh boy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right.
God bless you, man. And your finger, oh, the places it's been.
Oh, the places you will go.
Oh, the places your finger will go.
Well, except for Kathy, all of you. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank God.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. We love you.
Why, I'm honored.
All right, we'll see you later. All right. Listen, I got it. There's a number of calls coming in. We don't really need to open this up for discussion.
For discussion.
On the air,
but
if you would like to email me, yes,
it might be helpful though. This organization, I think,
on Lime One,
yes.
All right, but please, if you have suggestions or you work in this industry and can maybe help me, please get. I almost, because this weekend we're trying to figure out, you know, home health care and stuff like that. I almost went to Twitter going, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you guys
email
me? Yeah. Anybody who knows about this stuff and let me know what we should do.
And what she's entitled to.
Holy God, is that stuff expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's got to have something, at least even if it was just a few days a week or one day a week and then you pay for the others or something. But she's got to be entitled
to something. We called the insurance company and we have to be referred. But I don't know how long something like that
will last. Easy.
It's just a recovery. I mean, I need a long-term game plan here, you know. So
well,
anyway.
Can you get a service that walks pets and throw them a couple extra bucks? Is that crazy? Am I off base on that?
I'm trying to make ends meet.
There are no bad ideas, Steve.
Yeah, there are no bad ideas.
We're just spitballing.
No, but listen, care.com, they offer pet sitters, babysitters, and senior sitters.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I just walked your grandmother.
Let me go to Norman. Hey, Norman, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Norman, you had a group you wanted to tell us about, right?
Well, yeah, and it's hard because you don't want to plug things on the radio, obviously, but there is a group that's in Pennsylvania, and I think you can check it out. They're in nationwide, I guess, called Seniors Helping Seniors.
Okay.
And they match up. They'll come out to the house, assess your mom, and match up a person that is good with them psychologically, same kind of interests, same kind of things to keep them happy. They are older, retired people. Most of them have been in the medical establishment, so they're retired nurses, people have been in hospice. And they come out, they do housework, they will feed, they will cook.
Love it.
They'll walk the pet, you know, if she has a pet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they will keep company, they'll do puzzles. It's just a great organization.
It's in Pennsylvania. I need to check to see if they have something in Florida. But for those who are listening and have seniors in this area, that's a brilliant.
Great. It sounds very organic.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, this way you're not matching up, you know, a 21-year-old girl comes out, oh, hi, here, we're going to do this today.
Right,
And, you know, there's somebody that's on their same wavelength. And
yeah, I agree.
And Grandpa wants the 21-year-old.
Every now and then, I've seen people out that are clearly caregivers, and they're with their client, and sometimes you'll see people that look like they just don't care. You know,
You've seen that, right?
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, you feel so bad for the people, but this is probably all the help that they can get.
And we're gonna be put through this ourselves. I know, I'm sure when you went down there and seen this whole thing, your own mortality comes to play.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to put this for my kids to have to put up with me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it just opens up a whole new avenue.
I hear you.
Preston, they have locations in St. Pete. So there's one in Tampa, so you might be able to
check it out.
Norman, thanks for the heads up. I appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
Take care. We'll see you later. So, but anyway, I was happy to see some market improvement over the 2 days that I was there. It went from her just not being able to move at all and moaning constantly to being able to pull herself up off the couch on her own. I'm like, okay, we're heading in the right direction.
I mean,
but I didn't feel quite so bad about having to leave, you know. So.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You see these places, though, that are really like villages that are, you know, not like a nursing home, but that's like,
I know.
You know, and it's like with her, I don't know if your sister would be eligible to go into one of the, I mean,
probably
as a caregiver. Yeah.
She needs some herself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
you get golf carts and stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, it was, so that's, you know, instead of the Super Bowl, I was doing that.
Well, yeah, that's not as much fun.
No, not as much. But, like, seeing an improvement, that was great.
Well, that's great news.
So I'm happy to report that. Casey's giving me the wrap up because we have Aidan Gillen coming up and we want to make sure we stay on time for that. So we're going to take a break. So thank you for listening to that. But I also wanted to see if somebody could reach out and maybe point me in the right direction as well. And of course, like clockwork, Dr. Mike called in, of course.
He's the man.
No, we got to take a break. All right. So we are going to, what? It says here, surprise caller.
It's Gary Lauer.
Damn it.
Dr. Lauer.
We really should.
Hold on a second. Dr. Lauer.
I love my family.
You know, what is, maybe you, Gary, maybe you have the same interests as Preston's mother.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Doing well.
Maybe you send Gary down to St. Pete's to live with your mom.
Would you go down and live with my mother, Gary?
Negotiable.
All right, let's start.
Where do we start in the negotiations?
Could she borrow your jam if she loses hers?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's
really cool of him.
Imagine if your mom and Gary Lauer become best friends.
That would be.
Oh, my God. Man,
I want the movie rights to that.
It'd be amazing.
Gary, have you ever been on a plane?
Never, but thanks to Kathy, I drink every day a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar.
Oh,
I was like, because of me, you drink every day.
I drink every day until I pass out. Just hearing that voice kills me.
Wait, you have the apple cider vinegar, Gary?
I drink it every day, Kathy Romano.
Oh, my mom's going to be so proud of you.
Mm-hmm. You saved my life. I love you, sweet tea.
Look at that. Well,
wait a second. When you drank this, did you develop a third testicle?
Stop it. Be nice about that. Now.
Well, you told us you had a third testicle. That's you speaking in that clip.
I had three testicles. Mm-hmm. I'm well now. All right. That's all that matters.
Okay.
All right. You're all right.
I miss my family, too. I mean, be nice to me. How are you, Preston? How you doing, Presbo?
Hey, I had a bit of a rough weekend. Listen, I hate to cut you off, but we do have to take a commercial break and come back in a little bit. But I didn't want to just blow you off, okay?
Because you're family.
I love you, man. I love you.
Love you.
Hey, and my birthday's Saturday coming up. Can I come in Friday?
You can come in on Saturday.
Yeah. Come in Saturday.
Come on, man. It's tradition now.
I think we can come in on Friday, Gary.
Saturday. We don't know. You never know something could happen. There's things you always want to say to each other.
Yeah.
Well, I miss my family, man.
We miss your family.
All right, we got to go. Santa's got to go. Thank
bye,
you, Gary Lauer. We'll see you later.
Thank you, sweet Dan. I'll be too.
All right, we're going
to. All right.
I needed that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll have actor Aidan Gillen on the show. Stay with us.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on? Join Marissa Magnata tomorrow from 6 to 8 at the Irish Pub on 20th and Walnut in downtown Philly. Marissa will guest bartend to help raise funds for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb and Team WMMR.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
So our next guest is standing by. He's been in many, many movies, TV shows, all kinds of great stuff throughout the years. Of course, I'm a huge fan of Peter Baelish, who, of course, he played in Game of Thrones. But, of course, you got to love Project Blue Book, which has its roots in real life.
Roswell and Area 51 and another History Channel series.
Season 2, Tuesdays, 10 o'clock on the History Channel. Please welcome Aidan Gillen to the
program
this morning. Aidan, good morning.
Hello there. Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. We're a little tired. We had a little thing called the Super Bowl last night, but nonetheless, everybody survived.
A lot of people take the day off on Monday, but we work because we're troopers.
Mm.
There's a delay.
There's a delay on our phone line. We're having a hard time getting through. But listen.
Oh well, we can have some fun with that.
All right. Exactly. So listen,
I'm in a very remote part of Scotland right now, so the delay might even be more of a delay.
Oh, wow.
You're where?
In a remote part of Scotland, so we're probably dealing with a formidable delay.
Well, listen, the Project Blue Book conceit, you're based on a true character. Steve, you know more about it than I do.
You're Alan J. Hynek, right, who is the the basis of the Close Encounters scale and an actual figure. And so he is the main protagonist in the show. My wife and I watched the first season, and it's a great series. Are you yourself a lot of information's out there. Are you yourself a skeptic, a believer? Where do you fall on the scale?
Well, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle, probably quite similar to where Hynek himself started out. You know, Hynek is based on he's a real man who, you know, was an astrophysicist who was brought in by the U.S. Air Force as science advisor for Project Blue Book, their study into, you know, what was then a, you know, quite emerging and sensational phenomenon of UFOs in the 1950s. You know, he had a healthy skepticism, but also a very healthy, curiosity about what this phenomenon might be. And, you know, as the years went by, he became more fascinated and more curious and less skeptical and more of a believer. I've always had an interest in this subject, you know, given that I'm a child of the 1980s and Close Encounters of the Third Kind was such a huge movie for me growing up. And I just have a natural curiosity as to what else might be out there in an infinite, potentially infinite universe. You know, the probability of there being something out there is, you know, it's quite high, in my opinion.
No, I agree. H.G. Wells, you know, said, you know, it would be the ultimate hubris to think that we're the only beings in the universe. And I go back to there was a book years ago, Chariots of the Gods, and it was, you know, that was started a big UFO craze and so on and so forth. But as of late, the Navy has declassified some information, and there are people that have some real gravitas and import saying. Now, mind you, just because it's unidentified doesn't mean that it's Zontar from Jupiter. But still, there are these things that are being seen, and there's footage that the Navy has that we've seen, and suddenly people are starting to give a second look to this stuff. And I think that's why your show is hitting at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of coincidental. Just as we were shooting season one, we noticed that there was a lot more stuff appearing in, you know, mainstream media about UFO sightings, a lot more credibility being given. There's always been people with gravitas. There always have been credible witnesses, be they, you know, airline pilots, commercial pilots, military pilots, you know, among many other people from many other spheres of life who are reporting these things, often, you know, going against their instincts to do so, knowing that they will be ridiculed. You know, they're putting their... potentially their careers in jeopardy, their credibility definitely. So, yeah, I have noticed that there's been a lot more reports in mainstream media recently. I think just people are probably a little, you know, less... there's less stigma attached to it, I think, these days. It's still a quite, you know, fantastical idea to think that, you know, these things, you know, could be anything other than some, you know, unexplained earthly or, you know, astronomical phenomena, but, you know, people are just a little less intimidated with the idea of giving it some credence.
I think you're right.
You know, and also, news media is something that needs to be filled more than it ever has, given that it's a 24-hour, you know, consistently alive thing that needs to be fed. So, of course, there's more stories about everything.
Right. And with the story of Roswell, you know, and all the government cover-ups, you know, that's, of course, there are conspiracy theorists who believe that, yes, the government has been covering these things up for ages and so on. Do you think if it were to be legitimized, or if there were definitive information that yes, indeed, there have been aliens and they've been here, do you think that it would be a big government secret and they would indeed try to cover up as much as possible?
You try to see it from their point of view. Something like that, information like that, if it did come out and it were true, would cause, you know, widespread panic and chaos. I think it would be quite hard to keep something like that secret, but, you know, if I were in charge, I'd probably want to keep it secret.
Yeah, the movie Contact covered, you know, a bit of what might happen.
Contact, yeah. There's that scene in the beginning of, you talk about Close Encounters, where the pilot, they ask the pilot if he wants to report, as a commercial airline pilot, do you want to report a UFO? Mm-hmm. And he says, nah, I don't, you know, I don't want to do that, because everyone's reticent to do it. However, when you have, I mean, as you say, people, you know, again, there's this footage of these things. It's up there. We're seeing it. Doesn't necessarily mean, again, it's from deep in outer space. There's a whole bunch of this planet we don't know about.
Yeah.
And you know, but whatever it is, it's out there, and it certainly is interesting fodder for a TV show.
And with this, and with you in this role, Aiden, now that steps up your visibility to people who do believe in government cover-ups and so forth. Are they reaching out to you? Are they starting to overload if you're on social media or things like that?
Yeah, well, I haven't been overwhelmed by that yet. I'm not on social media, so I don't have to deal with that.
Okay.
But sure, I have had some encounters, pardon the pun, myself with UFO people, or people from, you know, what would be called the UFO community, and look, they've been really interesting conversations, and I'm always up for that. I keep myself private enough, so I'm not in the firing line for that kind of thing all the time. But, you know, some of our screenings have made sure to invite people from those groups along, you know, like MUFON. It's an important demographic, if you like, for us to appeal to. You know, we want to have their support, as well as, you know, just the wider television audience. You know, it's not being made specifically just for that niche crowd.
Right.
You know, we're,
no, it's well done. Even
our goal is for much bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you're not fully buying into this, it's just interesting. It's compelling, and it's taught drama. I want to ask you, because you're in Bohemian Rhapsody as well, do you think Freddie Mercury might have been from outer space?
Well, you know, like all great rock stars, when you first see them on Top of the Pops or whatever the equivalent would have been in the States, like Bowie or Freddie Mercury, you know, they do look like they've been beamed down from space.
It's really true. Yeah.
They appear in your television, particularly Bowie, who was kind of playing on that anyway.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury, yeah, you know, I know where he was from, really, but I'd like to think, you know, rock stars just do, you're supposed to feel like they've been beamed down from space into your living room to save you.
True. Yeah.
Excellent. And with this, we've got the season 2 underway. Is there any talk of another season beyond this, or we just want to see where this goes and then find out what happens down the road?
Yeah, we don't know yet. I mean, the idea is always to do more until you've exhausted something beyond its limits. You know, this is just 2 seasons. And given that we've got, you know, endless amounts of real cases to base our scripts on, and they are all based on real reported events.
Right.
You know, we've got tons more to mine from, and you know, we've got a lot more to go with the characters if we want. So I'd like to think we do some more. Yeah.
Cool.
Not confirmed yet, but I'd say it's quite likely.
Excellent. All right. Well, History Channel, 10 p.m. Tuesdays, you can catch Aiden on Project Blue Book, second season. Thanks, Aiden. Take care, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Aiden Gillen, guys.
Yay!
Nice. Yeah, it's
remote Scotland.
Yeah. It's, I wonder if I wanted to go into a little bit about, you know, we mainly hear about Roswell and sightings around here, but, I mean, that's all around the world, people.
It's got to be, right? There are, right? Yeah, all over the place. So I early on, you know, we used to talk about going to the library on the weekends, and my dad would take me, and a substantial amount of my reading was UFOs, ghosts, paranormal. I was an X-Files, way before the X-Files existed, I was reading all of this stuff. The books that the Conjuring, you know, those stories are all, those ghost hunters, the Warrens, I was reading their books and all that stuff. And I bought into some of it, and sometimes I'd be, I'm not so sure about this. But it was always interesting.
What would you rather, communicate with a ghost or an alien?
I think an alien.
I was
alien.
Thinking
yeah.
that too.
Yeah, right.
Ghosts are too scary.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard, in like the Southwest, there's a legend of like a... Like
a dog riding, a monkey riding a dog.
No, ant people, like So if you there's like hieroglyphics, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, like Indian.
Oh yes, I know exactly
Indian
what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
With and there's a uniformity, and you stop and think about it. It's what the Ancient Aliens series is about, and a lot of what I love is how they talk about it many times as if it's fact.
Yeah.
But hypothetically, there's a lot of things that tie these, you know, seemingly spread by thousands of miles, these different cultures. How do they keep arriving at the same sort of basic myth and basic sort of history? And all of that stuff is fascinating. I do believe that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is not easily, but explained by just, you know, human abilities and what was
and
done.
Human nature.
Yeah, that said... Yeah. There's always a possibility, and it's a big old universe out there.
Yep.
So when we were when we did the camping trip in the Grand Canyon,
were you abducted?
Hear me out here. Okay. The last night we were there, my cousin was up later than most other people, and he was just having a cigar, and he saw some stuff that like blew his mind. Now, when we woke up the next morning, a tent was missing. A tent was gone. It was nowhere to be found, and we could have sworn my cousin saw it happen.
What did he see?
He saw something with like lit up beady eyes.
Wait a minute! I've never heard you tell this.
We've never heard
before.
This story.
Can we? All right. So I got. He says he's like, and his words are, somebody's perpetrating against us right now.
It was a regular cigar, right?
It was a regular cigar.
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't do any of that sort of stuff. You want me to see if I can get him on the line here?
If he can get him on.
Tell us what you know.
What I know is he was up smoking a cigar, and he saw something with, like, lit up beady eyes go and, like, grab this tent and get up and walk away with the tent. Now, he could have sworn that it was... We had four guides, right?
Yeah.
You have two guides and then they're...
And the one from Jupiter.
Then they're helpers, right? Yeah. So, essentially, there's four guides, 28 people. And these guides, we were accusing them, or at least he was accusing them of, like, trying to, you know...
Pull
a prank on us, right?
Perpetrating on us.
Yeah. You know, they were perpetrating. Uh-huh. And they would not fess up.
Okay.
Still to this day have never, ever, ever fessed up. Now, last summer, my cousin and I were back down in the Southwest, and we actually met the two guides for dinner one night. So this is, you know, a couple of years later, and still would not... And I don't know why, if they didn't do it, if they did do it,
why they wouldn't reveal the prank?
Why they wouldn't reveal the prank at some point?
What did this thing? Besides the beady eyes, was the silhouette different? What did it look like?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But
big beady lit up eyes.
Yeah. I wish we could get him
stole
on
a tent.
Stole it, and the tent's gone. Like the,
gone,
you know, gone.
Did he say if it was a human shape with big beady lit up eyes?
Well, it was on two legs.
Okay.
Did it have a fanny pack?
Did not have a fanny pack. But, you know, so that happened. And then last year when we were in the Grand Canyon in that area again, that's when I heard about ant people.
See, I'd be waking everyone up if I saw...
Get the F up.
Yeah,
He thought we were getting messed with. You know,
you're getting perpetrated on.
At the time, he thought this perpetration was taking place.
Yeah.
And so
was my cousin's tent who went missing, by the way.
It didn't freak him out at all?
No, because I don't...
It was funny?
Was there anything in the tent that went missing as well?
No, because... So we essentially... We slept under the stars. So... But you set up a tent just in case it, like, rained or something along those lines. Oh. So a tent was set up, but my cousin... Not the one who saw it, but my other cousin was sleeping outside of the tent. So when he woke up...
So your cousin was out a tent on this trip, never found it again.
It was
later
the last
on?
Night. It was the last night of camping. Oh. So I don't know. Hmm. What are you guys giggling about?
I've never heard a story like this before.
No,
I
mean, listen. It's very. It may be like the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when everybody for over the years, like those the pilots that got lost over the Bermuda Triangle, an alien will come out with your tent.
Yeah. Somebody, we took this from you when you were doing the Grand Canyon tour. We're very sorry, but we wanted to see what it was. It didn't seem like you guys were sleeping out under the stars, and we said, well, there can't be some like temporary housing, so we needed to explore it.
I mean, E.T. had big glowing
oh my God.
Eyes, right?
Yes, yeah. Was it like
as he moved along?
And so this is a third party story because I didn't experience this myself. So I don't know how long it took.
Right. The way that my brain operates when hearing stories like this is that there's always a logical explanation, right?
Yes, I agree.
It's the right way to explore it. You always have to think, okay, what is and then
they forgot to put the tent up that night, you know, or there was a raccoon in the camp and he saw that,
or Ant-Man took it.
Ant-Man, no, like at night your brain plays tricks on you, your eyes play tricks on your brain, and you're tired, and you're sleep deprived, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, and so I'm sure. What he's saying is the truth, you know, that he believes that this happened. I don't think that your cousin's crazy or anything like that.
Right.
I just think that there's a way to explain it that also makes sense.
Yeah. There is a research facility underwater where they
do not eat hot dogs.
They don't serve hot
because
dogs.
They will cause your stomach to explode. But that's
logic.
It.
No, yeah, when you look at that, is what's the likelihood? An alien came down and stole a tent, or these guys were messing with him, and they pull a prank, and they never reveal because it's just funny to them.
Right.
What's more likely? The alien.
Clearly. I didn't say alien. Possibly
it could be a canyon ant-man.
Yeah. And they didn't come down. They are already
there.
They
came out of their caves.
Living among us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You make it ridiculous.
I was way off. I just assumed they were from another planet.
No.
Stop grasping for straws and get real.
They have cloaking devices.
This might be a stupid question, but is that where the term alien ant farm comes from?
I don't know.
What is that from?
I don't know. That's actually a good question. If you ever are even remotely into any subject like this, just turn on the History Channel on any weekend, or the Travel Channel, which is all ghosts.
Really?
And the History Channel is all ancient aliens around the clock.
Speaking of traveling, this weekend, as I was flying, I did see a few people wearing the face mask thing.
Did you? I was wondering about that.
On the flight out to Florida, I saw a couple people getting on. I kind of did a quick double take. I'm like, wow, I guess they're just taking precautions.
I saw it out in public on Saturday afternoon. Somebody was in a public spot.
And people.
It was not an alien ant person. It was just a person. Well, you know what? I don't know. Maybe it was
I don't know.
I really don't know. But they were wearing a mask because
their mouth was covered. It could have been mandibles for all we knew.
Don't reveal my face. I'm an ant man. Even I am afraid of the coronavirus.
I did see a woman who was wearing a mask, and I believe she has to wear one all the time for whatever reason it may be, because the mask she was wearing, number one, it was cloth. It wasn't like a disposable material. And it had a smiley face on it.
Uh-huh.
Not like the whole head. I mean, like it had a mouth on it that was smiling. And I think that for whatever she has a medical condition or something like that and has to wear one and wants to portray, hey, I'm smiling. I'm underneath here. I just have a normal mouth. You know
what
I mean?
She has frowny syndrome.
She has frowny syndrome. She can't smile.
I can't smile.
I'm sorry.
She's like Eeyore. Right, from the Winnie the Pooh,
I did read this story, though. A new study from Emory University finds that people who sit in a window seat on planes have the least amount of contact with people potentially infected with any illness.
Yeah, I'm an aisle guy. Because
sitting in aisle seats, more likely you'll come into contact with passengers moving about the cabin.
Yeah, my elbow ends up in more people because I'm a little broader, you know, but I like that room. And then when I'm wedged into the window seat, I used to only want the window seat. But if you want to go up and you want to go to the bathroom and all that stuff, it's just
so
much
annoying.
Easier. And you can stick your one leg out into the aisle.
I'm a window seat guy because I like something to look at. I love takeoff and landing and being in a window and being able to see, especially when you're flying in an area, you know, and trying to pick out the locations and golf courses and things like that. I love to do that.
And people,
because they're so tiny from up there.
We haven't taken off yet, sir.
But I on the flight out on Friday, I sat down and a guy came and he was sitting in the seat next to me, and he was super duper nice, and he introduced himself to me and said hi. And he was a talker, but I was so tired. I would love to have actually.
I see you've noticed my mandibles.
I would love to have had a conversation with him, but I'm like, dude, I got to go to sleep.
Did you say that?
Yeah. I'm exhausted. I'm like, I'd talk to you, but I gotta pass out. And fortunately,
what did he say?
Be that way.
Oh.
But fortunately, I have my badass travel pillow that I bought.
And you put it on his head.
Which, did you see the picture of it?
It looks like it looks like Dr. Manhattan's penis.
Penis and tactical. Testicles.
Yeah.
But it is the only travel pillow I've ever bought that actually allows me to sleep.
The only thing that helps you get to sleep is a huge dong.
If I got to wear a dong on my face to get some sleep, I'll do it.
So the idea is you curl it around your neck, and then the balls you put between your face and the wall. The bulkhead.
Yeah, no, the actual penis part goes under your chin.
Right. So and with the head and just about near your ear.
And the balls go, one's kind of on your face and one's on the back of your head.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you have a carry-on vagina or did you...
I thought you rubbed the shaft.
Well, that's what you're sleeping.
Well, that's if you're traveling with two people, you can share it then.
You can. But it's called the J pillow.
Yes.
I forgot to post that's what the name of it is. But,
J for penis.
A lot of people were asking me about it because I posted it on social media. But it is it's the best. I've tried the inflatable, donut thing.
And you slept with this fully soundly?
Oh, yeah. No
really?
Problem. It actually, it's excellent. I finally found it. Steve, I had the one that you bought for me.
Oh, my God.
That's inflatable and you put your hands in it and it sits on the tray in front of you and you lay your head on it. I felt like an a-hole using that one. That didn't work. This thing actually works.
There is one, Preston, J-pillow. Where you actually, it's basically the balls are on each side of your head.
Yeah.
And the shaft arches over your head
onto
the seat in front of you and keeps you in position.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's little hairs that come down.
Oh, okay. My God.
And hang around your face, tickle your nose.
And it keeps cooling because there are these hoses that run along the... It's really wild.
Wow. Well,
sometimes
listen.
It gets in your mouth.
To get sleep on a plane, I'll do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
You can curl up with a huge dong.
You know what else I missed this weekend was Groundhog Day.
Yes. We have the official announcement. If you want to hear it.
Yeah, sure. Why not? What are we in for? All right, here we go.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of all prognosticators, was awakened from his burrow. In Groundhog Ease, Phil directed the...
Wow, so this is... They use that script in the movie Groundhog Day. I didn't know they use that same thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Inner circle to his prediction scroll, which reads, "Now my forecast on a day that's a palindrome will cause some to cheer and some to moan. So do I hope you think it's neighborly, for there is no shadow of me. Spring, it'll be early. It's a certainty."
Oh, man. People are going crazy.
And then it started attacking them.
Yeah, yesterday was a palindrome day. It was 02-02-2020. And the next one with eight digits like that won't happen for 101 years or something like that. Cecily Tynan tweeted about it yesterday.
We'll have to make note of that when it comes around again.
Well, yeah right? but it's like because some countries put the date before the month. So that's why it's a worldwide thing.
Oh, okay. I still don't understand.
So it looks good. An early spring. Statistically, it's like 50-50 that it's been accurate, right?
Yes. May 20th in some countries is 05-20, and in other countries it's 20-05.
Far as the his
accuracy level?
I saw this article last week. According to the Groundhog Club's records, with the various incarnations of Punxsutawney Phil have predicted 103 forecasts of winter, more winter, and 19 early springs. That's it.
You little rat.
Only 19 times? Wow.
What was the level of accuracy, though?
So, let's see here. I do have that number. So data from the Storm Facts Almanac's data shows that Phil's six-week prognostications have been correct about 39% of the time.
Oh, it's less than I thought.
Mm. Yeah, Phil does a shade poorer when you check his performance against actual weather outcomes since 1969 when the accuracy of weather records is less in question. Phil's overall accuracy rate drops to about 36%.
Did we discuss the birth of this legend and where does it find its...
I don't know. I don't know when they began
Groundhog.
Doing this. It says here, though, the groundhog's powers of prognostication are slightly better when he doesn't see his shadow, though. When he predicted a short winter, he was much more likely to be right. Out of the 15 times that he didn't see his shadow
and predicted an early spring. He got it right seven times. That's 47% accuracy.
Well, the podium, by the way, and the whole thing is bathed in light, artificial light.
He's going to see a shadow.
Yeah.
It says here if how he stands up against human forecasters. If Phil is right 39% of the time, it's much, much, much worse than a climatological prediction. Even if you flip a coin, you'll still be right close to half of the time, and that's 50% accuracy. So he's actually really bad at it.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
What better reason to make a whole spectacle out of it?
I want at least one decent snowfall. You know, at least one of like...
It can start Friday night.
Yeah.
And then rain can get rid of it on Sunday.
I you know, listen, I agree with you. Yeah. I would prefer for it to happen.
However, for the resorts, though, we want the resorts to do well.
Yeah.
And for also for the Cardboard Classic, Casey, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, that would be nice, too. I like the way it feels when it snows out.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
And it's quiet.
Well, and also the landscapers and the guys who rely on snow clearance.
Yeah,
too. Are getting kind of nailed this year. I found out so through some people who do this for a living that it's killing them.
Do we have any foreseeable snow coming up? Nothing. No, in fact, nothing. Warm.
But we do have to get ready. We want something for the Cardboard Classic for
Got
sure.
to.
Yep. Absolutely. Hey, did you have a piece? I know we're just kind of doing a few things here and there. Was there a piece of audio that you wanted to play for
me? Oh, the Amber Heard stuff?
Yeah.
So this Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, this was leaked out. Amber Heard and Johnny Depp went to some sort of marriage counseling. And they it was consensual and the whole thing. They both agreed to do it. And they were there doing the session. And Amber Heard recorded it. And everyone knew it was being recorded on her phone. It was all agreed to. And then the audio leaked out.
What?
Somebody and some of the audio painting a different picture of Amber Heard. The relationship, or at least the impression, has always been that Depp was very caustic to her and aggressive. And he'd said, well, no, she's violent, you know, and has taken swings and thrown things at me. And then here's audio of her talking about it to the therapist with Depp in the room.
Why would you ever record a session?
I guess at that time they were attempting to work on the marriage.
Yeah, but why would you record it?
I don't know.
Weren't they both there?
I don't know.
Well, sometimes therapists record sessions.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To play back for audio.
To sell to TMZ.
Well, or to take notes.
All right, here's a little bit. I haven't heard this yet. Here we go.
I'm sorry that I didn't hit you across the face in a proper slap, but I was hitting you. It was not punching you. You're not punched.
Yeah, no, when you have a closed fist.
You get punched. You got hit. I'm sorry I hit you like this, but I did not punch you. I did not deck you. I was hitting you.
You can't.
I don't know what the motion of my actual hand was, but you're fine. I did not hurt you. I did not punch you. I was hitting you.
Huh.
I mean, and it's a long... I mean,
it's about 2 hours.
It's, yeah. And at one point, she's, like, mocking him. She's calling him a baby. You're such a baby.
And apparently, she says she was throwing things at him, like, you know, like glasses and pots and stuff like that.
Whoa.
And then she says, we didn't have the exact audio portion of it, but the transcript says, this is a murder-suicide or something like that waiting to happen, like describing the toxic nature of the relationship.
Wow.
So
wow.
People can make you so angry, though, that you know what I mean? Like she may have been so frustrated at whatever it was.
Violence in any case like this is bad, but it does at least initially tend to add credence to his side of the story that it
Maybe.
Might have been a two-way street.
Well, it was also, I mean, there were... I listened to a lot of it. I didn't listen to all of it, but there were moments where he was saying, basically, when she was getting physical with him, that he left.
I tried to leave and you called me a pussy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so he was leaving, and then that made her even more mad that he walked out.
And then she called me a pussy.
Yeah, that's it. If that's the case, you know, if no matter who they are throwing things at you and hurting you, at some point you have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying in this situation, because I don't know what went on in their world, but if you are indeed, whether they're male or female, and they are harming you, at some point you have to stop that, or you got to run or do something, you know?
As you know, and like you like the stuff at the Laurel House that you do, Preston.
Oh, my God,
and
yes.
And there are guys who have been, you know.
Certainly.
this story, though, I don't know, and nor will we ever really fully know. But it's no. So that actually caused a thing defending Johnny Depp to start trending on Twitter. And
no
and
kidding.
We'll see how this this all plays out. But it's a new rub to this story that we thought was pretty much over.
Yeah.
You know, if this was recorded in the privacy of like therapy. Isn't the therapist like going to get in trouble for this?
Listen, you will.
Won't
you
they
know
lose
how,
their, like?
Do you know how much? And I think it was on her phone. It was on Amber Heard's phone. I believe that's the story, and you can check on that. But do you know, like in these cases with these highfalutin, you know, the psychiatrists and therapists who deal with celebrities, there's probably microphones set up in rooms like that. Mm. I mean. To hold on to stuff like that, wouldn't you?
I just thought that there was like
a code that says you don't.
That's what I thought.
But it's, you know, stuff gets leaked out. Yeah. Transcripts get leaked out. Documents that you thought were protected or private. It happens within the government, for Christ's sake. Yeah. You know, all the time. Stuff that you figure should be secure gets leaked.
Yeah, it was on her phone, Steve.
There you go.
And she didn't release it?
No, but you could hack into a phone.
Yeah.
Not true. A problem, especially wow. if she's on the cloud.
Wow. Okay, that's freaky. This other thing, apparently Wilford Brimley had responded to a tweet from Ellie Schnitt.
She works for Barstool.
Okay. She wrote, she had written something about... serious question. Is the Chiefs coach the diabetes guy? And Wilford Brimley wrote back, Ellie, no, I am the diabetes guy.
That's so funny.
That's great.
So he must have gotten word. And this just in, Wilford Brimley has a Twitter account.
Who knew that?
I had no idea.
Is that, that's really his Twitter account? It's not somebody posing
you know what?
As him?
That's a, diabetes, that's diabetes, a very good question.
I don't see a blue you know, check mark.
Diabetes. I don't either.
You know, I have diabetes.
I didn't even know you still had
you know,
the,
I have diabetes.
The diabetes thing.
Diabetes. All liberty. Diabetes. These are my testing supplies. These are my testing supplies. Diabetes. When I say diabetes... When I say diabetes...
Oh, my God.
Diabetes.
Wilford's still working?
I don't know. I thought he retired.
He's 85.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. I thought he was 85 when Cocoon was...
yeah, I thought so, too. He was actually in his 50s, right?
That's crazy. Like yeah, that. I mean, he was like... he was younger than Tom Cruise is now, I think.
wow.
He was
what
the
a
same,
mess.
I think he was the same age as Paul Rudd is now when he shot Cocoon.
What a mess.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
He's still working. He's in a movie called Cellophane that comes out next year, and he was in a movie called...
It's about Cellophane.
It's, no, believe. It's about hot curls. Don't you use Cellophane in a hot curl?
Use Saran Wrap.
Saran Wrap. Okay, that's it.
Same thing, right? Essentially.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I should have been a farmer.
One last story, and then we got to wrap it up. Right. I saw this.
Wait, you want this breaking news?
Yes.
Oh.
What is it?
We talked about this last week or the week before.
Breaking news. Uh-oh. Police clear Flyers Gritty of allegation that he punched a 13-year-old.
Yeah!
So Gritty is in the clear.
Gritty has been cleared of all charges and can resume his job.
It says here police have cleared him in the assault of the alleged assault of a 13-year-old boy during a fan photo event last year. It says police the incident occurred during a photo shoot at the Flyers' home stadium. On Monday morning, Philadelphia police detectives announced that they had cleared Gritty after an investigation.
Huh.
So that's all that there is.
That is good news.
More news coming soon. all right, and Casey has just reminded me we need to do this. This starts today. We have a chance for you to win once again, courtesy of Dr. Oz, $500.
This is really cool.
We have a $500 Amex gift card. So here's the question that I have for you to kickstart things, because we're going to ask you to watch today's show, and tomorrow I have a question about today's show.
Is it about diabetes?
No. What time and channel does the Dr. Oz show air? Where and when is it on?
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
That's a gimme.
I know.
It's a gift from
Dr.
Oz.
It's the same question we asked last time.
Yep.
Caller number 8, we'll start there. 215-263-WMMR. All right, so let's see if you know the answer. When and where is Dr. Oz on? 215-263-WMMR. We'll take a break, come back in a second. Some bizarre file stories are on the way. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Pacifico Beer. Friday, March 6th at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. The sled-deemed best design scores a $2,000 cash prize. The best Live Live Anchors Up theme scores $500 and beer for a year from Pacifico. Sprint has $500 for the fastest sled. There's $300 for the coolest Jose Cuervo themed sled. And somewhat of a gag gift for Preston and Steve's favorite fail. Mandatory sled registration through March 1st at WMMR.com. For the MMR VIP lift ticket presale, the sooner you buy, the less you pay. Through February 23rd, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain.
Sponsored by Chorus Photography and Sprint. Brighter future for all.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, you ready to go for another run of the Bizarre File?
Yeah!
Wait,
we're
going to get our answer first.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God!
Dr. Oz. I forgot, Casey. You're right. We're looking for the eighth caller.
What the fuck is this?
Let's do that. What time and channel is the Dr. Oz show on? That's the very simple question that we have for you. So, caller number 8 is Clint. Hey, Clint.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Wonderful. So, I just need to know, what time and channel is the Dr. Oz show on?
2 o'clock in the afternoon on Fox 29.
And that's correct.
Yeah!
Clint now have a $500 Amex gift card. Congratulations, pal.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
You bet. Nice and easy. And tomorrow, we're going to make you work a little bit more for it. But all you got to do is watch a great show, Dr. Oz.
Yes.
We'll have a question about tomorrow's show. And as Clint was saying, it's on 2 o'clock on Fox 29 today. Get that daily dose of Dr. Oz. Health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, celebrity interviews, weekdays too. At 2 on Fox 29. So tomorrow we'll have a question about today's show. So make sure that you check that out. We're going to do that in the next couple of weeks. $500 every day. All right, now we can do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Patient First Cold. Cold and flu season is here.
I've got a cloud.
You do have a cloud. Patient First is here to help. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year.
It's like Claude Giroux.
20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. Harry. I can't speak.
You were traveling all day.
I was. What's Harry, though?
I was just to say they handle everything.
They Harry or Claude.
And I put handle and every and made... And made it Harry.
At these times, you need someone who cares about your Claude and Harry's it correctly.
I'm sorry.
And I snorted too. Here we go. Okay. Let me get to a story here. I'm going to skip that first.
Too many hard
words. Oh, no, I can't do that one either. Hold
Why?
On.
Oh, it's a sad one?
It's a sad one. Okay. I don't want to start with that. No. All right, here's a good one.
It's a good one.
An unsuspecting vacationer was left mortified when his designer swimwear shorts began to dissolve before his very eyes.
Oh, my God.
Dean Hogue, who is 55 years old from England, was enjoying a day at a water park in Portugal when his new shorts, gifted to him by his son-in-law Luke, split in half. Luke had plotted the embarrassing trick, so they were shorts made
They're
to
like
fall
They're like
novelty apart.
Shorts.
Yeah, which I'd never heard of before.
Oh, I love this idea.
So he had done this with his wife, Lynn, and daughter Bethany behind his back, and the whole party of 12 were there to see this happen. In the video, Dean walks from the flume as the shorts begin to vanish, leaving the lab technician's bare butt on display as he desperately tries to cover it. Luke said he's one of the guys who isn't too fussed about what he wears, so his wife buys all his clothes. She told him that I had bought him some nice shorts, and he thought that they were designer, and he was blaming Lynn at first. Luke bought the pair of shorts on eBay and concocted the plan for Lynn to save them for the day that they hit the water park. He said he came down the slide and got stuck, and we were all laughing, so he thought that's what we were laughing at, but we knew what was going to happen. The shorts started to split, and we were laughing our heads off, and he was so embarrassed because of all the lifeguards were laughing at him as well. He hid behind a trash can to try and get out of public view, but all 12 of us there were there with our cameras out. So
I've never, we have to look for these.
I didn't know they made novelty shorts like that, but apparently they do. All right, here's the story I'd skipped. A British man was last seen alive almost 2 months ago while trying to sail solo around the world. He's been found dead on his yacht. A guy named Mark Brennan was a window cleaner. His decomposed body was discovered on his 30-foot boat about 80 miles off of Jamaica.
Window cleaner and he had a yacht?
The inexperienced sailor had traveled across the Atlantic to the Caribbean and was last seen leaving the island of Grenada on the night of December 6th, fellow sailors say that the Avrio had dirty fuel issues, no radio or cellular telephone.
So he did everything right.
Yeah, and Mr. Brennan had lost his dinghy in the transatlantic crossing. A search and rescue plane spotted the yacht drifting in the east about 150 miles northeast of Aruba. And they saw that three times. So they alerted the authorities and they found him. Yeah, and apparently he shouldn't have been doing this.
Well, he didn't have the skills to sail around the world.
A neighbor said, I can't understand how he's been found in a boat off Jamaica. I always knew him as a window cleaner, and he never mentioned any interest in yachting. So that's somebody who was like, yeah, I can do that.
Wow. It's got to be easy.
A United States postal worker was caught with a public storage unit full of mail he never delivered. Jason Dela Cruz pleaded guilty to charges of delay of mail by postal employee. Dela Cruz, who worked as a mail carrier, said that he felt pressured and couldn't make time to complete his mail route.
It's a lot of work to ask someone to do.
He told authorities that he
got to go to each house.
That he listen to the lengths he went to. He rented a public storage unit for $49 a month for the sole purpose of storing mail that he could not deliver.
Who's got that kind of time to walk to each house and put the mail in the box?
Why would you not burn it? I mean, honestly, if you're that lazy, why would you even?
Well, that'd be a crime.
Oh, yeah. Well, the employee said he started hiding mail in November or December 2018. He rented the storage unit in February of 2019. He said that he put mail he was unable to deliver in the unit from that time up until he was discovered in May of 2019. Dela Cruz told authorities he intended to deliver the mail in the storage unit, but he fell behind and was never able to.
I'll get to it.
They said he never destroyed any mail, Casey, which probably saved him a lot of jail time, to be honest.
Well, yeah.
Agents from the United States Postal Service.
I'm just going to deliver it.
Office Inspector General found almost 5,000 pieces of mail in the storage unit. They discovered. So listen to this. So they said they found 5,000 pieces of mail. Only so 97 pieces were first class mail, which included letters from the Department of Motor Vehicles, the IRS, insurance companies, bank statements, and other tax return documents. Magazines and other publications made up 115 pieces of mail. So you had 97 pieces of first class mail, 115 pieces of mail. There are 5,000, right? The rest of them were all ads.
All ad stuff.
4,700 ads. Most of that is just.
That's junk mail.
Junk.
Yeah, that's the whole deal.
The Postal Service delivered the first class mail after it was found. The ads were discarded because they were old by then.
How many Bed Bath & Beyond coupons were in there?
Oh, my God. It must have been loads. All right, and then, Casey, time for one more.
A really shorty. Actually,
right.
No.
All right, that's it, and that's your Bizarre File. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Let me give away some passes to see the movie Sonic the Hedgehog. We have a screening that is going to be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Regal UA Riverview Plaza, which is on South Columbus Boulevard. And if you'd like to go, we'll take six callers right now, and we'll put you on the list. 215-263-WMMR. It opens nationwide February 14th, rated PG-13. Give us a call. Coming back in a moment. Have a crazy story for music news for you that I'll pass along. Stay with us. Yeah.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We are going to do a lesson question. We are going to give away Steven Singer's popular fully dipped classic Gold Rose. And let's see what kind of question we are going to ask today. In the Google commercial during the Super Bowl, we learned that Loretta's one weird nipple points to which state?
I don't even remember.
I do. 215-263-WMMR. In the Google commercial during the Super Bowl, we learned that Loretta's one weird nipple points to which state? 215-263-WMMR. By the way, we already have a Daily Rush video. This may be the first time, maybe not the first time, one of the rare occasions where the show isn't over yet.
Yeah.
And we have a Daily Rush video from something that happened that day already up and running.
So people have been asking on social media about it. So it's up.
It's Google's Super Bowl ad, Preston and Steve style. And you can check that out now, brought to you by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. All right, let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Patient First. Cold and flu season is here. Patient First is here to help. What did I say earlier?
It's the
Claude.
Harry.
Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical center. So what's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Lady Gaga involved in some very energetic making out with a mystery man around Miami this week. Amazingly, those who are up close to the couple are certain said mystery man was former Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild?
It is. I've never pegged it.
Never would have thought that. Pamela Anderson and her husband, John Peters, have split after 12 days of marriage. Anderson says the most tragic part of the split is that neither of them will get their first election from the Jelly of the Month Club.
Hey!
And finally, Meghan Markle's people denying she will be appearing on her best friend Jessica Mulrooney's new reality show titled I Do Redo. Markle says she's already committed to a season of Ice Road Truckers.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. In the Google commercial during the Super Bowl, we learned that Loretta's one weird nipple points to which state. 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Clay for the answer. Hey, Clay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. So Loretta's one weird nipple points to which state?
I believe it was Illinois.
Yeah! You're right. Hang on, Clay. We are going to give you a fully dipped classic gold rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. You can get his brand new rose gold rose for Valentine's Day. It's a rose gold rose starting at just $69. And they're only available at IHateStevenSinger.com. So get them now. Music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Is that a Jewish thing?
All right, take three.
It is brought to you by Patient First. Cold and flu season is here. Patient First is here to help. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers.
Nailed it.
Oh! Yeah.
Nailed it.
All right, so I'm going to start. I was going to hold this story till later on in music news, but I'm going to lead with this. This is pretty wild. Actress Ray Dawn Chong revealed she had an affair with Mick Jagger in 1976 when she was 15 years old and he was 33.
So this is linear to the legend of Mick Jagger, who supposedly slept with
Mackenzie Phillips. Well, she's in this story, too. But listen to this, because this is a very interesting take on this, okay? Chong, who's now 58 years old, she's a grandmother and daughter of Cheech and Chong's Tommy Chong, of course.
Yes.
Spoke to England's The Mail on Sunday and attempted to do some damage control, explaining that during a chat with Hollywood reporters, What Happened in Hollywood podcast, she was asked how she scored her starring role in Commando, the movie. To which he answered, I got it because I'd been in a Jagger video, which was Just Another Night. Great song. And then she said, they asked me how I knew Mick, and before I knew it, I blurted out that I had had sex with him when I was 15. It just slipped out. She explained the two met in 1977 at the house of John Phillips, a Mama and the Papa's fame, whose daughter, actress Mackenzie Phillips, was Chong's best friend.
There you go.
She recalled meeting Jagger, who was still married to his wife, Bianca. She said, he never asked me how old I was, and I never told him. It never came up. I remember thinking he was really cute. He had tousled hair, and I thought, oh, man, he is beautiful. He said, what are you doing right now? And I said, nothing, really. He grabbed me by my hand, and we jumped in his limo, and we went straight to a recording studio. The Stones were there. I was in the background. I remember being in there for hours and hours, and then I slept at his apartment. I knew what I was doing. I was experimenting with Mick. I was having fun.
Uh-huh.
She went on to say, this is my story. I can only tell it as I see it. This is my truth. Yes, I was only 15, but it was my body, my choice, my decision. I'm not defined by what happened to me with Mick Jagger.
Right.
I'm not upset by it either. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Sex has become a dirty subject. It's not. Sex is fun. Chong, who believes that Jagger should not be vilified in today's Me Too culture, said, I feel incredibly bad about it. It's me and my big mouth. My family and friends knew about it, but it's not something I'd ever dined out on. It didn't traumatize me. It wasn't a Me Too moment. It was something that empowered me, too. I knew I had the power to pick and choose whatever man I wanted. I was keen to have every experience I could. Mick was part of that. He did nothing wrong. He didn't make me do anything I didn't want to do. It was the 1970s, a different era. I wasn't a victim. I don't want him to get into trouble about this. It wasn't traumatizing. I knew what I was doing. I wasn't an innocent schoolgirl. I always acted a lot older than I was, and I was grown up at 15.
I think, judging also by, we're looking at the video here, she looks much more mature than 15.
Yeah, she does.
So I would, I could see that. But listen, that's her experience and her right to own it that way. And she's saying, you know, what he did was, everything was above board. So yeah,
she says, Mick was very beautiful, very shy, very self-absorbed.
I hope one day you'll be in commando.
She said, he had great lips. He was a great kisser. He wasn't that much older than me in my brain. He was 33 and young and gorgeous with a nice body. It wasn't a bad thing. It was fabulous. Totally rock and roll. He didn't make me do anything I didn't want to do, but he was very vain, always looking in the mirror, she said.
Of course he was.
Regarding her reunion with Mick in 1985 for his first solo video and the expanded Running Out of Luck film, Chong said, Jerry wasn't jealous, meaning Jerry Hall is
right.
Common law wife, I think. I don't know if they officially got married, but Mick and I were done by then, she said. We hung out as friends. He talked about his kids all the time. He was concerned and proud of them. I was impressed what a good dad he is. He might be a crappy boyfriend, but he's a lovely father. According to the report in her journal, Radon lists in green ink Jagger's phone numbers and home address, along with numbers of other men she was acquainted with, including comedian Steve Martin and Hollywood actor Ryan O'Neill.
She was probably of age for those, right?
Don't know.
We don't know. All right.
Thought it was quite interesting.
Do you think at any point in time Jagger himself was ever considered for the role of John Matrix in Commando? My name is John Matrix.
Yeah. I lied. interesting. Very, very interesting. That's why I thought it was a kind of a wild story. Normally you don't.
No, hear but she's
stories of that age and
yeah.
and that happening with her looking at it as no, this I wanted to do that, I did it, I'm glad I did it, and you know, so on.
Where it doesn't hold water is on the Mackenzie Phillips side, where Dad was having sex with his daughter.
Oh my God! Well,
that's a whole level of hell.
Most definitely. Metallica frontman James Hetfield made his first major public appearance since entering rehab last fall on Thursday night when an exhibit featuring 10 of his classic custom cars opened with a ticketed reception at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles.
He's got some amazing vehicles.
He even took part in a chat and helped auction two of his ESP guitars at the event. He indicated he was proud to have his work on display at the museum, saying, there's no other place like this. The Peterson is the pinnacle. It's the best place to have your vehicles. They weren't doing me much good sitting in my garage. I love looking at them. The best part is they're all together. And
it's the best part.
I didn't want to auction them off and have them go all over the world. It's a collection. It marks my life. Also in attendance were Metallica bassist Robert Trujillo, along with former Van Halen member Michael Anthony, and Jerry Cantrell was there as well. Hatfield, by the way, has been out of the public eye since last fall when he checked into rehab. Former Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist Josh Klinghoffer has offered his most detailed remarks yet on his recent dismissal from the group in a new interview with Rolling Stone. Klinghoffer was let go in December after a 10-year run with the gang and was replaced by longtime Peppers axe man John Frusciante, who Klinghoffer took over for in 2010. Klinghoffer received the news from his bandmates during a meeting at Flea's house. Meanwhile, Klinghoffer says that he suspected the seeds for Frusciante's return had been planted far earlier, with the guitarist reaching out to Anthony Kiedis and their tour manager as much as 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, John,
who are you talking to?
Was definitely showing his face in Chili Pepper world a little bit, just with emails and apologies about past behavior. So every time I would hear a story about that, I thought, what's he doing? Does he want to come back?
That son of a bitch.
Klinghoffer said his firing was a total blindside, as the band were so far into the writing of new record. Adding, here is an album that was more than half written, but I guess I let my guard down because I thought we had done so much work. I said he expected the band to scrap the music they worked on and start over.
He's in a new band called Plural One, and they're going to be opening for Pearl Jam on a lot of their dates.
Well, there you go. That's a bounce back.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard? You never heard of them?
I don't know anything about them except that Klinghoffer's in them and that they're opening up for Pearl Jam. So I didn't know what. I didn't even know Plural One and Klinghoffer were the same entity until Pearl Jam announced that they were going to have this band open for them on a bunch of their dates. And now I know.
Glad he's got work.
My Chemical Romance fans are furious after Ticketmaster deployed a dynamic pricing practice that allowed the price of tickets for the band's highly anticipated North American reunion tour to increase dramatically based on their demand. As a result, many fans writing in an online queue for tickets or waiting in an online queue for tickets after they went on sale Friday morning were presented with ticket prices hundreds of dollars above the original face value, with less than desirable seats in some cities going for over $1,000.
Oh, my God.
So this is some sort of algorithm that increases the...
I don't know how
it
works.
That's just insanity.
The fan outrage
was intense
enough that #Ticketmaster began trending on Twitter. My Chemical Romance attempted to help by limiting ticket transfer options and announcing additional stops in Newark, New Jersey, and two more dates in L.A. But numerous fans were left empty-handed or forced to face even more exorbitant prices on the secondary market. So they're pretty pissed. And I'm going to end with this. I thought this was kind of neat. Original Beatles drummer Pete Best got the last laugh on social media with his response to a rhetorical question that was going viral over the past few days. On January 29th, the Fab Four's official social media platforms posted the question, who or what got you into the Beatles? And so thousands of fans were providing, you know, like my dad,
sure, right,
I listened to him, blah, 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 or, you know, so on and so forth, sharing their stories, who or what got them into the Beatles. Pete Best simply tweeted, Paul called me and asked me to join. That's what got me into the Beatles. I love that line. On August 12, 1960, Pete Best auditioned for the Beatles in his mother's Liverpool nightclub called the Casbah. Best was asked to join the group, which then included original bassist Stuart Sutcliffe, and the two to begin a two-month residency in Hamburg, Germany.
Why did he leave the band? Did he get kicked out?
He kind of got kicked out. There are a couple reasons. Number one, he wasn't that good of a drummer. He was just kind of okay. And number two, the word was John was a little jealous of the attention he was getting from the ladies. And okay. It was an ego clash.
He's good looking.
Yeah.
And John was, you know, he was the alpha.
Right. But then you have Paul McCartney in the band, who's another like heartthrobby kind of, but he had the talent.
But he could write songs. So,
there's the difference.
And Ringo was kind of a star to those guys, literally Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
But he was already in a well-known band, you know, Roy Hurricane, or was it Roy Hurricane? No, Roy and the Hurricanes. But anyway, they were already like stars in Liverpool.
Okay.
And he was an established drummer, and he was older than all of them, and they were like, let's get this guy. He's really great.
They had a hit with the song We Wet.
Yeah.
Remember that person? Man.
Yeah.
Rory Storm. There you go. Oh. Rory Storm.
Did they take care of him financially after all their massive successes?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they gave him bus fare.
Oh, that's nice.
No, he has made a living off of that connection.
Yeah.
And the story, and he had books, and I think Preston's right, though, as far as the musical capabilities just weren't there.
There's a nice little story about him in the book that you're checking out, which is The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Yeah.
And how later on in life he actually became, he was very, very glad that he went a different route.
Really?
And he ended up being a very happy person, so he ended up having a good life, so... Good on him. All right, that is what I have for you in music news. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second, and we have a Word of the Week prize.
Oh, my God.
It's going to make you scream. Absolutely. It made Casey scream this morning.
It'll make you feel so good.
We'll come back with the letter of the day when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thank you to Aidan Gillen, actor who's on the show this morning. Project Blue Book. Yep, woo! Tuesdays, 10 p.m. History Channel. He's calling us from Scotland, so the phone line was a little bit tough with a bit of a delay.
He said a remote part of Scotland, too, apparently was working on a project.
Nice. You can check the program out on History Channel, 10 p.m. on Tuesday nights. We also had a concert announcement. If you missed that, Guns N' Roses, Wednesday, July 8th, Citizens Bank Park. Tickets will go on sale Friday at noon. Ticketmaster.com. And there's a pre-sale that's going to be Thursday. And you can get the details at WMMR.com. And Jackie Bam Bam and Jackson are going to have tickets to give away this week. So make sure that you do tune in for that. Pierre is back from his big Super Bowl bash last night. How you doing, man? Hell yeah.
Yep.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you, kids. Teams won and lost.
Yeah, it's true.
It happens.
Yeah.
The sun rises, the sun sets.
That's good. It's perfect color commentary because every bit of that is true.
Exactly.
There's nothing that is impugnable in that information.
The grass is always greener on the other side.
Is it?
Necessarily, but...
But
for purposes of this conversation,
for the purposes of this conversation, it can be.
Other than that, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I had a great weekend. Nice. How about you?
No, not so much, actually.
Oh.
But, you know,
I'm sorry.
These things happen.
I could have come over and washed your car.
He wouldn't have been there.
No, it was, my mother fell and broke her ribs, so I had to go.
Dear.
I had to go, and you did know. Don't worry about it. So I had to go down to Florida.
She what? She blames Pierre, though.
Yes.
It was my fault. I'll take. I blame me for everything.
Please do.
Please.
She was listening to the stream live, and she was rocking out.
That would do.
And
it.
You were just putting forth such a solid stream of rock that she was swept up in it.
Well. And I didn't want to say this, but it was one of his cuckoo cuckoos that knocked her down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
And she fell, and boom.
I am so sorry.
You need impressive. To be a little more...
sensitive.
Yeah, of when you start wielding those things.
Yeah, when you
powerful.
Throw those things around, they're pretty jarring.
Well, a Zap has got a lot of voltage.
Yeah, yeah.
And a cuckoo cuckoo is something else altogether.
It's true. Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right.
Shall we do the letter of the day?
I think.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Oh, B as in boy.
All right, B. And you hear the prize we have?
I did.
We have a pair of 3-day tickets to see Phish.
Woo!
August
Zuby.
14th, 15th, and 16th on the Atlantic City Beach, plus hotel stay for 3 nights at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
God, that's good.
That's a nice
pretty
price.
Sweet deal. So,
Zuby.
Tickets for all 3 Phish shows on the AC Beach go on sale this Friday at noon via Ticketmaster.com. So we'll give that away on Friday. Pretty cool deal. What's happening on the program today?
One more day of easy money, and this is it. You guys had your last opportunity. I have my last two at 11 and 1, and then Jackson, 2 more this afternoon at 4 and 6 before we put this contest to rest for a while. So that's good. A possibility of $1,000 coming your way. We also have workforce blocks of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Graham Nash had a birthday yesterday. STP, Robert DeLeo had a birthday yesterday. And the Kinks, Dave Davies, has a birthday today. Plus, the vinyl cut will be in honor of the great Buddy Holly, who sadly we lost today. But the great song from Don McLean I happen to have on vinyl, which celebrates his life in the day the music died, American Pie.
American Pie, it's a great song. Yeah, you've been playing song. The full, was it 10 minutes? I think, how long is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, something like that.
It's
yeah.
great. It's a great
it's,
song.
It's an amazing story, so we'll get that.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. And speaking of thanks, I'm going to thank our sponsors brought to you today, the Preston & Steve Show, Villanova's College of Professional Studies. You can pursue the next you. Also brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Call today and start training tomorrow. Call 888-FIX-JETS. Did you want to do a shard out before we wrap
oh,
up?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank do you it. So much, man.
Because I'm going to do a shard out and thank you to also a sponsor that is many times a sponsor of the show, and that's Winter Airport Parking. I used them yesterday and on Friday, and they were just awesome. So I appreciate that. And then Casey had a shard out.
So I'm going to do a shard out and a happy 22nd birthday yesterday to Zach Cariola. Zach was actually the referee at my son's basketball game on Saturday.
Ah.
Huge fan of the show. Celebrated a 22nd birthday yesterday. Best ref we've ever had.
Excellent. Tomorrow's program, Bob Harper will be getting in touch with us.
Bob Harper.
Bob Harper of...
Biggest Loser.
Right.
Yes, trainer. The trainer.
Right. Yep. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Talking about these guys with beards making them look like they're men. Hey, men, come on. How can they be men when they're wearing skinny jeans and man buns?
Next message.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you all liked the Stripper Bowl last night. I was praying for a nip slip or something.
Next message.
Oh, my God. Am I the only person on this road that actually has somewhere to be and not all day to get there? Drive!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.